जयम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य असूत्र श्री श्री शिवन अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयम तिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की मृदमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की Gau Premanandi, all glories to the Simple Devotees, all glories to the Simple Devotees, all glories to the Simple Devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhuleshwari Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine, Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini, Narvishesha Shunyavadi, Ashati Deshadarini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्दियं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् द्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तसिद्धान्त सरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवर्षभानवी देवी दयिताया कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाग्निर्श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्री गौर करुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्री मूर्तये दिनधारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धाव सिद्धांत द्वंद्वहारिणे नमो गौर किशोराय साक्षात् वैराग्यमूर्तये कलंबर सांबोधे पदाम्बुजाय नमः नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगवराय ते गौरावैर्भवभौमेस्त्वं निर्दोष्टा सज्जनप्रिया वैष्णवस्सर्वभौमश्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरकृषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तसात्विकं हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तु ते जयदं सुरदोपाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदीर्घदि सर्वस्वदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्री श्रीराधा श्रीरगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भि श्रीपटतटस्थित कर्षान्वेणुस्वनिर्गोपैर्गोपीनाथा श्रियेऽस्तु न तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमा नमामि हरे प्रेम श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो दिस लास्ट चैप्टर नारद भक्ति सूत्रम विच इज द फिफ्थ चैप्टर व्हाट वी हैव डिस्कस्ड स्टार्टेड लास्ट सैटरडे Shri Narada Maharshi talks about the glories of a devotee, Bhakta Mahima. That is the title of this chapter. And the first sutram he mentioned, that Bhakta Ekandino Mukhya, one devotee who has Ananya Bhakti in Krishna. He is Ekanda Bhakta. He calls it as, Narada Maharshi calls it as Ekanda Bhakti. They are the important devotees. And in that relationship, we saw also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, who are these Ekanda Bhaktas? Who have, when we say Ekanda Bhakta means those who have completely taken Krishna shelter and always in full awareness of their relationship with Krishna. Like in the Gajendra story you saw, they used to use the same word. Ekandino yasya na kanchanartham vanchandi vevai bhagavat prabannaham atyalbudam dacharidam sumangalam gayandam ananda samudramagnaham. Krishna says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th canto, if you look, you will see there, that devotees who have become Ekanda Bhakta, they have no desires in them left anymore. And completely, they are Atyalbudanda Charidam Sumangalam Gayandam Ananda Samudramagnaham. Simply by glorifying Krishna and absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, they are constantly engaged in glorifying, and also in that process they feel absolute happiness in their relationship with Krishna. So those great devotees who have come to that state, they are pure devotees. Krishna, Narada Maharshi calls them here, Kandhavarodha Romanja Ashrubi Parasparam Lavamanaha Pavayandi Kulani Prativimcha. Then while discussing about Krishna, they become so ecstatic, and also with the great happiness they shed their tears from their eyes, and mutually they talk about Krishna. And what do? Pavayandi kulani prithivimcha. By their presence in this world, they not only purify their own family or generations after that, but the whole earth. This is Narada Maharshi's opinion on that. So, Ananda Shita Netrambu Pulagigrada Gatravan Sada Paraguna Vishto Drashtavya Sarvadehi Bi. That because they are glorifying Krishna 24 hours, that they are very rare in this world. Because they are absorbed in Krishna, and the only happiness they derive is about discussing about Krishna with other devotees. So, by their birth alone, from their mother's side as well as from their father's side, many generations get purified and they get released from this earthly existence. So they are very fortunate. Narada Maharshi says, not only that the family they were born, but even the whole place where they were born becomes purified, becomes a place of pilgrimage, becomes a place of pilgrimage. And Sukadeva Goswami, in relationship with his own experience, he says to Parikshit about this, Prayena munayo rajan nivrta vidishaye thadam Nairgunnastaramandesma gunanuhatane hare. In the second chapter, you will see in the second canto, first chapter, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit that Prayena munayo rajan nivrta vidhi nishedada. Vidhi and nishedam, they are finished. What does vidhi nisheda means? Vidhi nisheda means rules and regulations. They are not bound by rules and regulations anymore. Why? Nairgunyasaraman desma gunanukathane hare. They have gone beyond the three modes of material nature. Therefore, rules and regulations don't apply. Rules and regulations for those who are in the three modes of material nature. They have to follow rules and regulations. Once you have finished the three modes of material nature, nairgunyastam. And he says, nairgunyastaharanamandesma. They are in such a pure state of consciousness that no rules or no regulations or do's and don'ts don't apply to them. Vidhi Nishedam is an important thing, isn't it? For everyone has Vidhi and Nishedam. Vidhi means the what you're allowed, what you should do. Nishedam means what you should not do. That is how it is. What is what you should do and what is what should not do. So Vidhi Nishedam, it's there in the spiritual life. Also who follows the Vedic tradition, they have to follow certain restrictions, regulations, everything in life. So that stage is finished for them. Why? Because they are not under the modes of material nature anymore. So long as we are under the modes of nature, Vidhi and Nishedam one has to follow. Nairgunyastaraman desma guna anukathani harim. That because they are gunadhida, beyond the modes of nature, such personalities, they relish or they enjoy great pleasure in glorifying and talking about Krishna. Talking about Krishna is a big subject. It's not a subject that you can finish very easily. Because if you look into not only Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Puranas, Upanishads and everything, what we are talking about is the soul. Isn't it? Talking about Krishna means talking about the soul. The wide world of the soul, which is not easy to comprehend. So when they talk about Krishna, it includes all the knowledge related with Krishna, related with the soul, Brahman. Everything. So many things that they have to talk about. So, then, Ramandesma guna anukathane hari. Hari's gunam, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's transcendental nature, that's what they discuss. So, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto also, when Prachetas was given instructions by whom? By Lord Shiva. Isn't it? Lord Shiva taught them how to worship Krishna. How they should approach Krishna. So Prachetas were given what is known famous prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Yogadesham. It's called Yogadesham. There's about 20-25 verses, which refers to the special prayers that was taught to them specifically by Lord Shiva. Prachetas, Prajina were his children. There were 10 of them. Because they all were very similar in their nature, altogether they are called Prachetas. One name was given to all of them. They all go together, they do their activities together, they are all serious about spiritual life, they practice all their sadhanas and spiritual activities together. So they left Prajina Barahi, sent them to perform penances in the forest. They all came together to the seaside. And when they came there, Lord Shiva and Shri Parvati were bathing in a huge tank there. And they, when they saw Prachetas, Lord Shiva addressed them and told them, "Are you not the children of Prajina Barahis?" Lord Shiva tells them. They were shocked when they heard that Lord Shiva is telling them that Lord Shiva already knew who they were. And next thing was more surprising to them. Shiva is saying, "You have come here to engage in bhakti or bhajana towards Vasudeva, Krishna, isn't it?" they said. So they were more shocked. And then immediately Lord Shiva told them that you should perform, I'll give you the instruction, the mantrapadesham, the proper instructions, what mantra to chant, how long you should chant, and what should be the way it should be chanted. So many instructions Shiva gives to them. And that famous prayers that is called Yogadesham. Yogadesham it is called. And the same thing comes from Rigvedam. In Rigvedam also it's called Chamagam. Shri Rudram and Chamagam. Shiva's famous prayers. So they were taught these prayers. Prachetas spent 10,000 years underneath the water chanting these prayers. 10,000 years underneath the water chanting these prayers. Some acharyas are saying the reason why they spent 10,000 years was that the potency of these prayers pleased Krishna so much. Krishna didn't want them to come out of the water. Krishna wanted to hear those prayers again and again and again. So they had to spend 10,000 years underneath the water. They spent. And after they came back, they were given further instructions and they went back to Prajina Barahis, got married. They married Daksha Prajapati, who lost his head after offending Lord Shiva, which you know in the fourth canto. And then many years they lived, they had their householder life, and then they came back again to perform penances again. By now, in the Bhagavatam it says, they have forgotten these prayers which they have chanted 10,000 years. Why is it said in the Bhagavatam like that? There is a reason behind it. Reason is to show how powerful household and life is, to tell us that, that once you get involved in household and life, you can go far away from spiritual life. That means even the prayers that were taught by Lord Shiva himself were forgotten. And Srinarada Maharshi had to again bring them back to it. So there you will notice there, one prayers from there, they when Prajedas were going to glorify Krishna, Maitreya Maharshi says that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Evam Puranam Purushartha Bhajanam Janardhanam Pranjalaya Prajedasa Taddarshana Dvastadamo Rajo Mala Giragranan Gadgadaya Sukhurtamam. So, that Prajedas by now, because of their performance penances, they were completely released from Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And therefore, when they with their folded hands, they pray to Krishna like this. Vat gadgada dravadeyasya chittam dudatya bhishnam hasadi kvachicham vilajjamulga yadi nirtya deja madbhakti yukto bhuvanam punatim. Then, with their voice choked, they were choked. Rudatya bhishnam hasadi kvachicham. Sometimes in the ecstasy they were smiling and sometimes they were crying. And without vilajjamulgayade nrityadeja, sometimes they didn't feel any timidity or shyness, and they were dancing in the ecstasy. They were dancing in the ecstasy. Such a devotee purifies the whole world. A devotee who has reached that state of Krishna consciousness, he purifies the whole world. For him, this world doesn't exist anymore. He lives in another world. He lives in another world. It mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam about such devotees who have reached that state of Krishna consciousness. Vidura and Uddhava met in Yamuna River, near Yamuna River in Vrindavanam, when Vidura came back after his pilgrimage. Vidura says to Uddhava, Vartam sakhe tirthaya kirtaya tirtha kirte. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this famous statement from Vidura to Uddhava. Vartam sakhe kirtaya tirtha kirtem. Then, Vartam sakhe, Varta he calls it. What Varta means? Varta normally means news. Tell me the news, my friend, he says to Uddhava. Tirthaya kirtha tirtem. That talk me about that personality, Krishna, also is the Supreme Personality. Talk to me about him. And saying this, thinking about Krishna, Vidura started shedding tears. And there is a scene in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Vidura and Uddhava embraces each other and completely got lost in that discussion about Krishna. About discussing about Krishna, they completely lost their consciousness and embracing each other, they stood there for a while and they completely forgotten, they lost the surroundings, what they were present there. And Uddhava also was in the same ecstatic mood after hearing Ekadasha Skandam from Krishna. He is on his way to Badrinath. Vidura has come back after a long pilgrimage and Vidura wanted to badly see Krishna. This is the situation where they are meeting each other. Pulagot bhinna sarvango unjanmila drisha shuja Purnartho lakshidastena sneha prasarasam plutam. Immediately Krishna says here, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to present Vidura to us. Uddhava to us. What was Uddhava's state? After receiving Ekadasha Skandam knowledge inside, Uddhava was in such an ecstasy. Can you imagine that? That realization of Ekadasham. The Bhagavadam's Ekadasha Skandam is so famous. It is even higher than Bhagavad Gita in that sense. Isn't it? Even beyond Bhagavad Gita. That top realization, what one can experience in this world, Krishna has given that to Uddhava through Ekadasha Skandam. After receiving all those instructions, it says here, Purnartho lakshidasthena sneha prasarasam pludam. Purnartha lakshidasthena. Purnartham. Purnartham means what? The complete essence of the Vedic knowledge he has reached there. Purnartho lakshidasthena sneha prasarasam pludam. In other words, he has come to such an ecstatic state in his consciousness. Sneha prasara sampluda. Love was previous. Love was coming out of him in such a flow coming from Uddhava, And seeing that, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to say this, Pulagodbhinna Sarvanga Unjanmila Drisha Shucham, that Vidura noticed a big change in Uddhava. What was that change? Change was this. Vidura and Uddhava knew each other very well before. Before he went on the pilgrimage, Uddhava knew him. Uddhava was Krishna's minister, wasn't it? Prime minister. And Vidura was a great devotee, as like Uddhava was. But Vidura noticed one thing in Uddhava this time. After hearing that Ayodhya Skandam, there has been no changes in his bodily features. Because when self-realization happens, this is the important point. Whichever state realization has happened, you will remain in that state till you leave the body. After that, no changes in the body anymore. This is the important thing. That's why it's mentioned here, Purnartho Lakshita Sneha Sneha Prasara Sampluta. Purnartham. That means he has got it. Now he can't come out of it. He has got it. Which the result of that was self-realization has happened. That I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am not this intelligence. I am pure Brahman or spirit soul. That realization has come to Uddhava. Result was that the changes in the body that happens. Normally we all are aging every day, isn't it? Our body, scientists are telling us every 7 years it's changing. That's their opinion. Every cell is changing. So whole body is changing. We don't have the same body what we started our life in this world. In 5-7 years time, the boyhood change, body has gone. Then the teenager's body has come. Now teenager's body is gone. Youthful body has come. Youthful body will go one day. Another body will come. And then the old man's body, you'll get it. And one day that'll also go. So body is constantly changing. But that consciousness inside, awareness, avabhodam, the soul, he doesn't change. He doesn't change. Externally, you can only see the body. Isn't it? But Uddhava, Vidura noticed this in Uddhava. When he's looked at him, Purnartho Lakshidasena, that he has got it. He has got it. He understood that. Vidura understood that he has got it. What has to be obtained in this life? Sneha Prasara Sampluta. And that love in Uddhava. And that is why Vidura says to Uddhava at that point, whatever you have heard from Krishna, talk to me about it. Vidura says, I just don't have the time. Imagine they are so busy in spiritual life. They were so busy in spiritual life. We are not that busy. We have plenty of time. But they were so busy in their self-realization. They were ready to use this life, human life, before leaving this body, that they want to get back, don't want to come back here. So decided and determined they were. Both Vidura and Uddhava as well. You can see from their conversation. When Vidura is making the statement as Uddhava, he's not taking it in a very casual way. With full seriousness, he's talking about it. That Purnartho Lakshidasena. Sukadeva Goswami uses the words very carefully about Uddhava. And Uddhava had no time. Uddhava says, I have to get to Badrinath very quickly. That's instruction to me. And the instruction to you, he says, you go to Haridwar. Maitreya Maharshi is waiting there for you. Go to him. He will talk to you. So he was pacified in that way. Otherwise, Vidura was not feeling very happy. He wanted to hear what Krishna had to say to this world before he left this world. Isn't it? Absolute truth has to say something to this world, what to do in this world. So Vidura, Uddhava left, Vidura followed him. But in a very short time, Uddhava was far ahead of Vidura. Vidura lost the contact. After a while, they started together, but within a short time, Uddhava has gone far ahead of Vidura. Uddhava was in ecstasy. He was walking. You can imagine when somebody is in ecstasy, how it will be. Not the other ecstasy. This ecstatic experience. Other ecstasy, you will jump from the fourth floor to the ground or something like that. That's a different ecstasy. But this ecstasy, Uddhava's ecstasy in the Srimad Bhagavatam is well known. Uddhava was in such a great ecstatic feeling of, after hearing Ekadasha Skandam from Krishna, he felt it is complete. Life has come to the proper state at the end. And in that happiness, he was in so thrilled and joyful mood, he was rushing to Badrinath. Krishna has told him, go there and sit there and reflect on what I have spoken to you. And talk to Narayana Rishi and then you can come back to me. This was the instructions to Uddhava. So, Purna Pulagodbhinna Sarvanga Unjanmila Drisha Shucha Purnartho Lakshidasthena Sneha Prasarasam Pludam when they meet together, when devotees like, what do they have to talk about? They have not, they have no other subject except what? Except Krishna. Whenever we say Krishna, what we have to remember is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His activities, pastimes. Krishna, who is present in all the living entities, as the soul of everyone. All these things are discussed. When that discussion can go so far, that's why it says, Parasparanukathanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yasha Midhoryadharmidas Tushtir Nivrattarmidhama Altmana. This is from the Prabuddha says this. Among the nine sages in the Canto 11, you will see among the nine sages Prabuddha talking about this. What do the devotees discuss when such top class devotees, when they meet each other? They won't discuss about topics like the way we do. They have only one topic to discuss about. Paraspara anukathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha midhora dharmidas tushtir nivrtarmidhamalmana. That paraspara anukathanam, mutually they have only one thing to talk about, is the about Krishna, about the soul. Pavanam bhagavad yasham, Krishna's glories, unlimited glories of Krishna. Nobody understands Krishna. Even after studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot understand Krishna. Pavanam Bhagavad Yasha. Midhoradharmidas tushtir nivrtharmidhamalmanam. And in their presence, association, mutually, they get great happiness and satisfaction and peace. And who said this? Prabuddha says this to Nimi. Then, when Prahlada saw Nrsimhamurti in the Bhagavatam again, in the seventh canto, you will see that Nrsimhamurti kept on pushing Prahlada to ask for a boon. Ask for a boon. And Prahlada said, that is the only thing I don't want, he said, this thing called a boon. I don't want to have a business relationship with you. That was Prahlada's state of consciousness, isn't it? So Prahlada says to Nrsimhamurti, please don't insist on this that I should ask for a boon. Even if you insist for anything else, the only boon I'll ask from you is not to encourage me to ask for a boon from you. That's the only thing I want from you. This is how Prahlada was trying to move away from the instructions from Nrsimhamurti. He was saying like this. It is in that state Nrsimhamurti kept saying that, and then at time, if it is like that, he said, if you still insist, there's only one thing I have to say, that my father, who has been so harsh to me, who has offended you so much, please save him. Please protect him. This is the only thing Prahlada had to say. Look at that great devotee's great heart. In spite of the fact that the father has been so cruel and rude to him, still he felt that Hiranyakashipu should not go to hell. He should go back to the spiritual world. This was his desire. Just how magnanimous Prahlada was. So he says to him, Nrsimhamurti says at that time, Prahlada, because you were born in this race of this Hiranyakashipu's family tree, that you are born there, your father, not only your father, 21 generations will go back to the spiritual world. They will all be liberated just because you were born in this. That is the greatness of a devotee. When a great devotee takes birth in a family, not only he gets liberated, many generations before and after also gets liberated along with him. So, and he says here that wherever, yatra yatra jamal bhakta prashanda samadarshinaham, wherever there are devotees who are peaceful and who have reached that high state of Krishna consciousness, not only the places where they were born, their families, and even if those places are very abominable, they get purified. And that is why Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? He says there, anuvrajamyaham nityam. Wherever such devotees are born, Krishna says, I go after them and take the dust from their feet to purify myself. To purify? Niravaksham munim shandam nuruvairam samadarshinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyangrirenubhi. He says, Niravaksham munim shandam Wherever there are devotees who have no desires, material desires, they have no desire whatsoever in this world. Niravecham munim shandam, they are always in that peaceful state, always in shanti. Nurvairam, they have no enemies in this world. Samadarshinam, they only see Krishna's presence everywhere, nothing else, equal vision everywhere. Anubrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyangrire nubhim. Krishna says, I follow them so that by their association I get purified. This is Krishna's humility to tell us that how much he recognizes pure devotees, great devotees, how much he value them, how much he value them. When Narasimhamurti says to Prahlada, you can see Prahlada's both seven generations before and after, they've all gone back to the spiritual world. They've all gone back to the spiritual world. And if you look into their family chart, Prahlada's family chart, you will see all of them have gone back to the spiritual world. Prahlada went back, Mahabali got back, and Virochana got back. Virochana was Prahlada's son. Virochana's son was Mahabali. Mahabali also got the mercy from Krishna. If you look upwards, also you can see the same thing. Right up to Brahma, they all, because Brahma comes all that, Hiranyakashipu and all that, they all goes back to spiritual world. They all got Krishna's mercy. So, important thing is that a great devotee, a devotee of Prahlada's caliber or Prahlada's status, when they appear, when such great souls appear in any family, they not only purify themselves and the family, but the whole place, it becomes a place of worship. Kulam pavitram janani kridartha vasundhara punyavati chatenam apara sachil sukha sagare esmin leenam pare brahmani yasya chetaham kulam pavitram janani kridartham. Where one is born, his kulam, his family gets purified. Janani kridartham, that his mother is purified. And vasundhara punyavadi chatenaham, that vasundhara, where the place where he is born in this world, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. Just like you can see great, great devotees, wherever they have appeared, it's always a place of pilgrimage. Why is Vrindavan famous? Because gopis have appeared there. That's why Vrindavanam is famous. Krishna appeared in Gokulam, isn't it? But why Vrindavanam is so famous, more than even Gokulam? Because gopis have appeared there. Therefore it's famous. Gopis, Krishna's best devotees, they have appeared there. Why Sudama Nagar is famous? Because Sudama has appeared there. Because of his appearance, that place has become famous. How Pandharpur has become famous, and places like Alindi in Maharashtra, because of the appearance of so many great Jnaneshwar, Tukaram, and many, many others like that. Ekanath, and the whole range of Vaishnavas, pure devotees of Krishna, who appeared at different times in the history. Those places also became famous. So place also became famous. Similarly, you will see also wherever the Alwars appeared, Vishnu's devotees, all those places are places of pilgrimage. Nayanars appeared, those places are places of pilgrimage. Similarly, Mayapur, Navadvip appeared famous because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So wherever they appear, such great souls, those places also became places of pilgrimage. Kulam pavitram janani kridartha vasundhara punyavadi chatenam apara sachit sugasagare esmin lilambare brahmani yasya chetaham. Because they are busy, absorbed in glorifying Krishna, and they have no other business in this world except absorbed in Krishna. Whole life, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever they have spent in this world, whole time they were busy with Krishna. Nothing else. No other mission in this world except total absorption in Krishna. And therefore, that place becomes purified. Tirthi kurvandi tirthani sukurmi kurvandi karmani sa shastri kurvandi shastrani. This is Srinarada Maharshi's statement about that. In the next sutram he says, Tirthi kurvandi tirthani. Great devotees, they purify. Pure devotees, they purify all the tirtham. Tirtham means like holy rivers and holy lakes, places where tirtham, water gets purified by their bathing in those places. They purify, devotees purify the tirtham. when Ganga River wanted to come, when the hesitated to come here, because she said, what will happen is if I come to the earth, a lot of people, they will engage in a lot of sinful activities and they'll come and bathe and hand over all their sinful results to me. I'll have to carry that, she said. At that time, Bhagiratha said to Gangadevi, that you are only seeing one side of the story. There are great, great devotees who will come and bathe in you and they will purify you. And you will get that opportunity which you may not even get in the heavenly planets. That's what you will get in the earthly planet. So there's a conversation like that in the Bhagavatam between Bhagiratha and Gangadevi. So, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani. He says, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani. Sukarmi Kurvandi Karmani. And whatever activities, karmam they perform, that all is very auspicious karmam. Satkarmam, in other words. Sukarmi Kurvandi Karmani. Shastri Kurvandi Shastrani. And whatever they do in this world, that becomes the Shastram. That becomes the Shastram, in other words. In other words. So, what is Tirtham means? Tirtham means saintly personality. Saintly people, great devotees, jnanis, their association. Wherever they are present, that is the Tirtham. That is the Tirtham. And it is only due to their association, temples and holy rivers, everything gets purified. It becomes a place of pilgrimage. Only due to their presence, great devotees' presence. Once Krishna went to Samanta Panchakam, isn't it? You will see that pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there was a solar eclipse and Krishna went to Samanta Panchakam. Samanta Panchakam is the place where Parashuram brought all the Kshatriya kings from all over the world, killed them and created a lake with their blood. Parashurama was a Brahmana, but by qualities he was a Kshatriya nature. And it's one of the most powerful incarnations of Krishna. If you will see that, Parashurama's incarnation. So this Parashurama got upset with all the Kshatriyas. So he went and killed every one of them and brought them back and cut their heads. And with that blood, he created a lake. And that is the Samanta Panchakam near Kurukshetra. So they created the Samanta Panchakam, and that is on solar eclipse day. All the Yadavas and Krishna and Vrishnis, they traveled from Dwaraka. They came to this place for that solar eclipse to bathe in that place in Kurukshetra. Similarly, all the cowherd boys, gopis, they were all old by now. They were all old people. And they also came from Vrindavanam to see Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda. Everybody came there to that place. And all the great sages, they came. Because they came to know that Krishna and Balaram are coming there. So they've also gone there. So to them, at that point, Krishna says to them, Nahyammayani tirthani na deva mruchilamaya te punarindirukalena darshana devasathavam. He says, just water is stored somewhere, that does not become a holy spot. He says, it doesn't become a holy spot. Similarly, if you make a deity with a marble or stone, it doesn't immediately becomes potent. It is not that just because you made a deity with the stone, that immediately it becomes the presence of the Lord is felt straight away. Immediately it's not felt there. So how all of these things, for example, many holy great personalities come and bathe in a particular place, that river becomes famous or it becomes purified or it becomes a place of pilgrimage for others. Temple becomes famous how? When great devotees come and present themselves in those temples. That's how temples become famous. In Tamil Nadu, there is a particular saying for that. Which devotee has sung glorifying the particular deity in the temple? That is more important for them. Which of the great devotees have come and glorified the deity in that temple? That is very much, that's the way it is seen. And if it is great, great personalities, naturally people give more importance to that temple because they have come, like Ramanujacharya or the Alwars or the Nayanars, they have come and glorified the deity, that becomes a place of pilgrimage. That becomes a place of pilgrimage. Otherwise, it's just not that we brought a deity from somewhere and put it. It does become immediately a place of pilgrimage. Practically, we misunderstand that way also, isn't it? The same stone, what is used to make the deity, we also use it for other purposes, isn't it? We walk over the stone. It's the same stone. Where is the difference between that stone and this stone? This is also stone, that's also stone. What makes that difference? Difference is Krishna's presence in that stone. That is what differentiates from the other stone, isn't it? Other stone. Stones are used for various purposes. Before they made the deity out of that stone, this stone was also in the same way like any other stone. There was no difference. But after the form was curved, and after worship has started, due to the presence and to the worship of the devotees, Krishna accepts that service and then his presence is felt. So this is why it is said, ancient temples were long, thousands of years worship has gone. Even if the temple is destroyed, Krishna's presence has not gone from there. We have so many examples of that. Some places 3,000, 5,000 years deity worship had gone on. And after that, due to some special circumstances in the history, some invasion has happened, or some riots have happened, quarrels happened, temple was destroyed for some reason. And for hundreds of years, the temple was left like that. Afterwards, again the temple was rebuilt and the worship started. Immediately they could experience the presence of that worship, what has happened there for thousands of years before. From their own experience, many people have spoken about that. It didn't take very long for the temple to come back. As soon as they started the worship, within a very short time, they felt the presence of the deity. How do they feel it? All around the temple, the people who lived around the temple, they all felt an unusual happiness and peace and prosperity in life. This happens. This has happened many, many times. It has happened like that. Just to prove to us that if Krishna is worshipped anywhere for a longer period of time, and once Krishna has accepted that worship, even if something happens due to the extraordinary situations in the history, sometimes invasion from other places who don't have a faith in this temple worship, they come and destroy everything and they go. And what happens, quite often, it has come back in a different forms to them who have done that in their families. People have gone crazy, those who have done such things. That is the power of deity worship. That's the power of deity. There are so many examples of that, what is happening like that. Nahimayani tirthani nadeva mrchilamaya te punam durikalena darshanadeva sadhava. So, deities and these rivers and all that, you have to worship a long time before you get your purification happens to us. But what Krishna is saying here is, pure devotees, if they look at you, you get purified. Just by their looking at you. Of the great devotees' status, Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavatam. Nahimayani tirthani na deva mrchilamaya te punarindiru kalena darshana deva sadhava. That is how Krishna considers about the great devotees. He considers them even beyond the deities in the temple or the holy rivers. People generally go in pilgrimage for what? They go to bathe in the holy rivers. They visit mentioned temples in order to get purified, isn't it? In order to get purified, that's why we go. So, but Krishna is saying here that if you get to see a personality, a great devotee like Vidura, Uddhava and all that, Prahlada for example, just if they look at you, you get purified. So quick is the purification. Ganga says to Bhagiratha that all the human species will come and dissolve their sinful reactions in me. I don't want to come, she said. Ganga River says to him. Bhagiratha says, Sadhavo nyasina shanda brahmishta lokabhavanaha harandhya ghamde angasangad teshu astehi ghavidhari. In the ninth canto, you can see this. That sadhavo nyasinaha shandaham. People will come and bathe in you. Bhagiratha says to Gangadevi, who sadhava, who are completely fixed up in the self-realization. Lokabhavanaham. That they purify the world and they are peaceful enough and they sacrifice everything for, they have no selfish interest behind their life. Brahmishtaham. They are completely fixed in Brahman, self-realization, in other words. Lokabhavanaham. And thereby their presence alone, harandhyakham de angasangad, whatever sinful reactions you have collected from others, that will be wiped out straight away by their bathing in you. And because why
Krishna is present in all of them, in all these great devotees who are coming to bathe in Ganga River. It is not a simple statement in the Bhagavatam. There was one great sannyasi who has written a commentary on Bhagavatam in Hindi. He lived in Vrindavan years before, and he has written in his commentary that Ganga River, the sannyasis who have come and bathed in Ganga River had such amazing experiences themselves. They had experience from bathing in Ganga River. One instance in Haridwar, one such sannyasi, a famous sannyasi, he went to Haridwar to bathe in Ganga River. And that time Kumbh Mela was going on. And there were lots and lots of people there in Haridwar. So this particular sannyasi from one of the mutts in the north, he bathed in river and then he came and sat down on the river bank when he was absorbed in his meditations. He was absorbed in meditations, engaged in his spiritual duties. At that time, a very youthful, good-looking woman came that way and brought some flowers, put it at his feet and paid her obeisances, and she moved away. And when she was moving away, he was surprised to see this. Normally, in such big crowds, women won't go in freely because they know the dangers involved. But seeing her like this in this special situation, he asked her, "Who are you? Why have you come to this crowd like this to move around in the crowd?" Before she could answer, she disappeared from there. And they couldn't find her anymore. This experience is not with one sannyasi. Many, many sannyasis have spoken about this, what happened in Haridwar, Prayag and places like that. So Ganga Devi knows this. Ganga Devi comes to thank them for having come to bathe in those rivers. She thanks them. And Akhandananda Saraswati, who wrote his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, very famous in Vrindavanam, in there he mentions this experience of many, many sannyasis in bathing in Ganga River. It's a famous thing. A lot of people have confirmed. That is why you will see this. So many personalities come at the time of Kumbh Mela to bathe in Ganga River for this reason only. Because they know that that's the time many, many great souls will come to Ganga. So, here, Sadhavonyasina Shandam Brahmishta Loka Pavanaha Harandyakham De Angasangan Teshwasthehya Kabidharim. Then, because Krishna is present in them, Krishna is present there in them. Self-realization has come to such a level in them, they are in quality as good as Krishna. Krishna coming and bathing there. That is the difference. There is no, practically no difference. They are so pure, when they bathe in Ganga River, as though Krishna is present there in the river at that time. And Ganga Devi knows this. Ganga Devi knows this, their presence. So, Vidura came back from his pilgrimage, and Yudhishthira says to him, this you will see, Yudhishthira, because Vidura went on a long pilgrimage, isn't it? When the war started, Vidura said, "I had enough of it. These Kshatriyas, they will never learn," he says. They had everything in life what they wanted. Plenty of money and plenty of power, position, everything. Still they were fighting each other. For what? And Vidura's question was that. And Vidura got so fed up with them that he went on this long pilgrimage and he came back afterwards when the war was over. By now the war was over. He went on all places of pilgrimage and came back. So by now the Kauravas were all killed and Yudhishthira has taken over and Yudhishthira was ruling the kingdom and Vidura comes to Hastinapur and meets Yudhishthira there. So Yudhishthira says to him, Bhavad Bhida Bhagavada Tirti Bhuda Swayam Vibho Tirti Kurvandi Tirtani Swandastena Gadha Bradham. Said, Swandastena Gadha Bradham. That normally you are pure. All of Vidura is a very exalted devotee, isn't it? And devotees like you, he says there, who carry Krishna within their heart all the time, 24 hours, absorbed in Krishna. So Krishna conscious they are. That when by their presence, all holy places are purified. They purify the holy places by their presence. Yudhishthira Maharaja says this to Vidura. Yudhishthira says this to Vidura. Tirthi kurvandi tirthani. All tirtham becomes proper tirtham by their bathing in them. Swandaste nagadha bradham. By their presence. So, it is important that to their activity, such great souls, their activities is worthwhile pursuing. Ajarashchaiva sadhunam. Ajarashchaiva sadhunam means sadhu, they are sadhus. Sadhus activities are worthwhile following. So Manu says this in the Manusmriti. So normally karmam binds us in this world, isn't it? Bondage, it creates bondage. But if it is offered to Krishna, it takes us out of the three miseries of this world. Tapatrayam. Tapatrayon Mulanam. Bhagavadam says that, isn't it? What is Tapatrayam means? Adhyalpiyam, Adibhaudhikam, Adidevikam. Adhyalpiyam, Adibhaudhikam, Adidevikam. Adhyalpiyam, Adibhaudhikam is what we get from outside us, from the world, and from the king, from the government. They all suck you, isn't it? As much as they can from you. So that's the Adibhaudhikam. In the misery that is given from external sources. Then miseries from the body, and then miseries from the mind. Miseries from the mind means due to our own ragam, attachment, aversion, lust, anger, greed, and so many innumerable problems inside, we suffer due to that, isn't it? So those problems. So adhyatmim, adhibhaudhim, adhidevigam, all these problems, he says here, that immediately gets taken out when you get to when you offer all the results of your activities to Krishna, and they purify them. That is how the pure devotees do. What the pure devotees do, what does, is that they direct everything to Krishna. Everything what they do in this world is for Krishna's pleasure. If it becomes like that, no karma can bind you in this world. You are completely released from all karma. So the goal is ultimately to become completely serving Krishna all time, in all possible ways. Mind, body, intelligence, everything in Krishna service. When that happens, you are not anymore bound by the karma. You are freed from the karma. So, and that's why it says here, and so therefore what Narada Maharshi says now is, Narada Maharshi says here that they not only purify everything. One thing, they purify all the holy places. Secondly, what else they do? All their karmam, they make it without any bondage. They can turn the karmam into karma yogam, in other words. It turns into karma yogam or bhagavata dharmam. They are not much different. Karma yogam and bhagavata dharmam are very much the same. We call it and turn two different titles. If you add bhakti to karma yogam, it is bhagavata dharmam. If you add bhakti to karma yogam, it is bhagavata dharmam. Krishna talks about karma yogam in 5-6 chapters in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And Bhagavata Dharma is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam. And if you compare both, there is not practically very little difference between Bhagavata Dharma and karma yogam. So here, the important thing is, he says here, that the such personalities who purifies the holy places and who purifies their karma by offering all the results to Krishna, they justify the Shastram. They actually give authenticity to Shastram. Because when you see what Shastram has spoken in someone in real life, you can get convinced that the Shastram is correct. That is the idea behind it. Krishna all the time in this world will bring such personalities who live according to the Shastram. The idea is to prove to the world, whatever I have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute and it is 100% correct. And what do they do? They live such a life, completely freedom from selfishness, that all their karma is without any bondage. In other words, it is pure karma yogam. And all other activities in bhakti, in pure bhakti. So together, Bhagavata Dharmam they execute. And not only that, wherever they go, they purify that place by their very presence. When you see that, you get convinced that what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam is absolutely correct. So, because you need living examples always in this world. Otherwise you cannot. Shastram will go invalid otherwise. People will read in the Shastram and they will say, we will say normally, oh, is it possible to be like this? All this what is mentioned in the Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita. That will be our first question. We won't be able to accept it. Therefore, we need examples in this world all the time. Krishna sends people always to make sure that there is some living examples in this world. So, therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi says about such personalities, Tanmayaha, they have become like you, like Krishna. That is why. Tanmayaha. In other words, they are the Ekanta Bhakta. Ekanta Bhakta means in all aspects, they have become as good as Krishna. in their consciousness, in other words. So pure they are that no more selfishness behind it. Krishna performing a karma and me performing a karma, big difference, isn't it? When Krishna was fighting for Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetram, if you observe Krishna's activities, it's not like the way an ordinary soldier fights, all the time smiling when everyone was getting killed. All circumstances, Krishna was not disturbed, was he? Under no circumstances, Krishna was disturbed. And Krishna was able to deal with the whole Mahabharata war in such a way that he sends his army to Kauravas to fight with them, and he joins the side of Pandavas and fights the war. You may have never heard of a war like this any time, have you? That sending his own army to opposite side and he fighting from the other side. This is unusual, isn't it? A war like that. Why is it all shown like that? Bhagavad Gita is trying to tell us how to understand spiritual life properly. That these things, war, fighting and all that, they are not the important thing. The consciousness in which Krishna was functioning there, in that Krishna's very nature, come in perfection how one lived in this world, total perfection. And whatever Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, he has proved that in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. No identification with any time, with no disturbances, distress over death. And at any time, he will notice that whenever his devotee fell into distress, Krishna brought him up and taught him what is real life. He taught Arjuna at that time, isn't it? So, Tanmayaha, such devotees, Krishna, Narada Maharshi says here, Tanmayaha, they are Tanmayam. They are as good as you are, no different than Krishna. So, in other words, devotees of that nature, that status, who are present in this world, you can take it that Krishna is present in this world by their presence, because in their heart there is only Krishna, nothing else. So places where they were born, the austerities, places where they performed their austerities, and wherever they had realized Krishna, they all became places of pilgrimage. And why Vrindavanam has become famous? We can ask gopis. The answer will come from the gopis. What was their state? Tanmanaska tadalava tadujeshta tadalmigaha tadguna nevagayandyo atmagarani sasmaru. Sukadeva Goswami says this about gopis. What does he say? Ta manmanaska tadalava. 24 hours, gopis had only one thing to think about, Krishna. Tadalava. Whenever they spoke, they only spoke about Krishna. Mutual conversation among the gopis, the topic of discussion was Krishna. Tadvijeshta tadalmigaham. And whenever they spoke about Krishna, tadvijeshtam. Whenever they acted, they actually tried to imitate Krishna. How Krishna performed different pastimes. This is how they played with each other. Tadvijeshta tadalmigaham. That their Atma was Krishna. Their Atma was Krishna. And Tadguna Nevaga Yandyo. Whenever they had to speak about Krishna, about Krishna's glories, Tadguna Nevaga Yandyo, they simply singing all the time about Krishna's glories. When they woke up in the morning, they start singing about Krishna. When they were churning to take the butter out of the yogurt, they were singing about Krishna. And they were all great singers. Gopis were great singers. It is gopis' tradition, Hindustani music has come. They are the actual preceptors of the Hindustani music, which became much later famous, Hindustani tradition. They come from the gopis. They are the personalities who invented all the different ragas in Hindustani music. Many ragas are named after them, after the gopis also. So, so they were very experts in singing, very experts in the musical science of the music. So, tadguna neva gayandyo alma garani sasmarum. That there was no time that alma garani sasmaru. They couldn't even remember about their own home, their family members, and their duties at home. They have forgotten that. Alma garani sasmaru. Their family, their home, everything was forgotten. So absorbed inside with Krishna. So therefore, and because gopis lived there, Vrindavanam became famous. You will notice this when Akrura came to see Krishna. First thing, before he saw Krishna and Balaram, he fell down on the ground and rolled in the dust there. And what was the reason? Because of here, this is the dust through which gopis have walked through. Akrura's feeling inside that gopis have walked around in this land of Vrindavanam. So let me take the dust from their feet and put it on my head. So first he rolled in that dust in Vrindavanam when he arrived first time. And then he goes and sees Krishna and Balaram after that. So that much respect and feelings for Vrindavanam among the devotees. You can see, even now if you go to Vrindavan, you will see some old devotees who have lived in Vrindavanam for a longer period of time, or those who really understand Vrindavanam's position, they will always pay their obeisances on the ground before they go on a parikramam, or they will take the dust and put it on their head. That respect for that place, because gopis have walked there. So that's a place's importance. And Uddhava prayed to Krishna after seeing all this. Asamahom charanarena jushamaham syam vrindavane kimabhi gulmala daushadhinam yadustyajam svajanam aryapadanja hitva bejur mugunda padavim shrudivir vimurghyam. He says there, Asamahom, this is after Vrindavanam, Uddhava came to Vrindavanam to pacify the gopis after Krishna left. Krishna sent Uddhava there to speak to the gopis. So when Uddhava came there, gopis first a few days observed someone who looks like Krishna has come. And that whole night, Uddhava spoke to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi. They talked about Krishna the whole night. They were expecting Krishna to come. That was the message Krishna has given to Nanda Maharaj before, that I will come one day and see mother Yashoda. But that didn't happen. Instead, Krishna sent Uddhava. So when Uddhava arrived in the evening, Nanda Maharaj met Uddhava, and Uddhava was taken inside, and Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj wanted to hear from Uddhava how Krishna is doing in Madhura. And whole night they spoke about Krishna. In the early hours in the morning, Uddhava went to bathe in the Yamuna river. So when Uddhava was going, the chariot was standing outside the house. Outside Nanda Maharaj's house, the chariot was there. And it was the same chariot which Kamsa had given to Akrura to come to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So seeing the chariot, the gopis started talking to each other. Who has come now? Has Akrura come again? Akrura agada kimva, he says. Has Akrura come again? Because maybe after taking Krishna and Balaram away now, they want to take us as well from here to offer us in sacrifice to some gods what there he is worshipping there. Because those days obviously killing was happening perhaps. So Akrura agada kimva, he says, Akrura, they were talking to each other. Like that, at that time, Uddhava left home, Nanda Maharaj's home, and he was going to bathe in the river. They saw Uddhava coming out and they realized that it was not Akrura, it was somebody else who had come. They didn't know Uddhava, who it was. Uddhava, after bathing in the river, so while he was going to bathe in the river, gopis were looking at him and they gave him very heavy look to him. And Uddhava got frightened because Krishna has already warned him that these are a very special class of devotees. They are not like the ordinary devotees in this world. They are a very special class, he said. So Uddhava goes there. After bathing, when he was coming back, by now gopis have discussed among themselves and they understood that someone has been sent here by Krishna. So they caught hold of Uddhava and brought him to Radharani. And it is in front of Radharani the whole investigation happens there. All kinds of questions were put in front of Uddhava, and Uddhava understood immediately what Krishna meant about the gopis. So he says here that Uddhava, after seeing this gopis bhakti, gopis devotion, he says there, Asamaho charanarena jusha mahamsyam, that is there any possibility for me, Uddhava says, to be a dust in their lotus, in their feet, in the feet of the gopis. Uddhava is saying this, imagine. Uddhava's bhakti is like that. After seeing their attachment for Krishna, Uddhava, Krishna wanted, because only Uddhava could understand that bhakti. That is why Krishna sent Uddhava specifically for this, to understand what the gopis' bhakti was. So Uddhava is saying, Asamaho charanarenu jushamaham syam, that charanarenu, that dust from their feet, at least let me become a dust in their feet. Vrindavane kimavi gulmaladaushadhinam. If that's not possible, at least let me take birth as a creeper or a plant in Vrindavanam, so that when they walk, they'll walk, trampling over me, they'll walk through this land. So is it possible for me to take a birth, like get a birth like that? Kimavi gulmaladaushadhinam. Either like a plant or a creeper or something like that in Vrindavanam. Ya dustyajam, why they are so glorious? Sojanam aryapadanja hitva bejur mugunda padavim shudibir vimargyam. They have done something what normally people won't do. What is that? Ya dustyajam is the most difficult thing to do. Sojanam, they have given up their family life. Gopis have given up their family life. It's very difficult for women to give up family easily like that. Husbands, children, old parents, they are all at home. Normally in the society at that time, they stayed home and looked after, and that was their life. Women's life was like that, isn't it? In this time, those days. So that is why Sukadeva Goswami says there, Ya dustyajam, most difficult thing for anyone to do. We, with all our shattered life, we still don't want to leave home. We find it difficult, isn't it? But they had much more guaranteed happy life in family life than compared to modern days. And naturally, you can imagine it's much more difficult when your family life is happy and when your family life is comfortable. Who wants to leave home? Nobody wants to leave home, isn't it? And gopis have decided to leave home in spite of all the happiness they had at home. That's why Sukadeva Goswami is saying that, Ya dustyajam, and they gave up all the attachments. In other words, they are higher than the sannyasis in that sense. Sojanam, what else? Aryapadanjahitva bejur mukunda padavim shudibir vimargyam. That what else have they done? Aryapadavinjahitva. They are Aryans. Aryans means they follow the path of strict religious principles. That means they follow the shastram very strictly. In other words, they will not leave home like that. To leave home means that you are inviting a big insult in the society to leave home for women at that time, to leave home and walk away like that. But they took that risk for sake of Krishna and Balaram. For sake of Krishna, they have taken that risk and left home. So they have done something which is quite unusual. Quite unusual thing, what they have done. And that's why Sukadeva Goswami says there, Asamaho charanarena jushamahamsyam vrindavane kimabi gulmalam aushadhinam ya dustyajam swajanam aryabadam jahitva. What? Bejur mugunda padavim. They wanted to come to Krishna. Mugunda padavim. Shrudivir vimargyam. You have not heard about this anywhere in the Shruti. In the Shruti. So such devotees, they are as good as Krishna. Why you say they are as good as Krishna? If you get their association of that kind of devotees, it is as good as you have got direct association with Krishna. There is no difference. Their association, such great devotees. That's why he says in the next sutram, what does he say? Modande pidaro nirtyanti devadaha sanatha chayam bhur bhavati. He says here, Modande pitara, pitralogam, they get pleased with them. They get pleased with them. And demigods, nirtyanti devadaha, demigod starts dancing when they see a devotee of that stature. Sanatha chayam bhur bhavati. That earthly planet, Mother Earth, becomes pleased by their presence in this world. When they put their feet on Mother Earth's gross body, she feels great pleasure. When we put our feet on the earth, she cries. See, when they come and put their feet, such great purified devotees of that status, when they walk on the earth, Mother Earth is feeling happiness. This is in the Bhagavatam. She says that, she was crying at one stage when Krishna left this world, that lotus feet will not be kept on my body anymore, she says. Mother Earth is saying like that. So, that is why it is said like that. So, then he says, in the Bhagavatam, again you will see, we have a lot of debt in this world, isn't it? In the traditionally, as long as we are not engaged in spiritual life, we have a lot of debt. In this world. Not the debt for mortgage and all that. There's other debts as well. mortgage debts also there, but this other debts as well, which we have. What is that? Devarshi Bhudaptan Ranam Pitranam. Na Kingaro Nayam Ranija Rajan. Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gadir Mugundam Parihritya Kartam. Bhagavatam says like this, that we have debt towards demigods. Why there is a debt? They provide us with air, water, and so many things. Just because we pay the bills is not clear. Water bills I have paid, so my debt is over. No. Who gives the water? Government is using that water and make business out of it. But who is supplying the water? Water is supplied by Krishna's arrangement, water is coming, isn't it? So, but they want everything to go in their way, so what can you do? So, Devarshi Bhudapta Naranam Pidranam. We have debt towards the demigods. We have debt towards the sages. Why? They have given us knowledge. They have given us knowledge. If they have not given the knowledge of self-realization, what would we be doing here in this world? Except enjoying the senses. What else would you do here? If we haven't had been given Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, all this valuable spiritual literature, which takes us to realize the truth, what we are here for, and at the end, what's the goal of life? Make some sense all this out of all this life, isn't it? So that is what Shastram does. Shastram makes us understand what is the purpose of human life and how one can maximize this life in this world, as far as life in this world is concerned. So therefore, they gave us such literature like Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, Bhagavadam, Ramayanam, Bhagavadam, Mahabharatam, and so many others, in order to give us an insight into the spiritual life and self-realization, to understand the truth, what the truth is. Everyone is seeking for truth. We are also looking for truth. Only things we don't know where to look for it. We look at the wrong place. So, everyone is searching after something, isn't it? That's searching for the truth. So, that's why Devarshi, demigods, we have debt. We have debt towards the sages. And then, Devarshi Bhudaptan Ranam Pitranam. Pitralokam, we have debt towards them. Because that is the Vedic injunction through Pitralokam makes the decision about our next appearance in this world. And those who are dead and gone, they go to Pitralokam. And in order to the Pitradevadas, they look after them at that time before the next decision is made. We have obligations towards them. Also from the Vedic point of view. Devarshi Bhudaptan Ranam Pitranam. Nakingaro Nayam Ranija Rajan. So, but in the same words, Srinarada Maharshi is saying, Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartram. That if, although all these debts are there for us, debt towards the demigods, forefathers, and the sages, the three main debts we have, these three debts are there for those who are living in this world according to the injunctions of dharmam, dharmic injunctions. But if you have taken completely Krishna shelter with the intention of self-realization and no more interested in having a happiness in this world or looking for any kind of sense enjoyment in this world, completely focused on self-realization and going back to Krishna, then such a person, Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam, such a person, he has no debt. Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartam. That such a person doesn't have to answer anybody. And you will see this in the Bhagavatam again, in the fourth canto, where he says there, Prachetaswar spoken also, Srinarada Maharshi says to him, Yathātaror Mūlanisheda Jena Trupyandidal Skandabujo Bashaga Prano Bahara Chayadendriyanam Tadaiva Sarvarhanam Achudejyam. It says, Yathātaror Mūlanisheda Jena. Just like there is a tree there standing outside. If you just root the water, the tree will make arrangements that water will reach all the branches, the leaves and the twigs, everywhere it gets distributed. The water, wherever it's necessary, the water will be taken by the tree and brought to the particular place where it's necessary. Yatha taror moola nishechanena. If you pour water at the root of the tree, that is sufficient. The tree will do the rest of it. Ndrupyandital skandha bujo bashakha. That all the branches all the small branches, twigs, leaves, everywhere the water gets circulated, isn't it? Similarly, pranobahara chayatendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyudejyam. You take food through the mouth, food goes inside, all the energy gets distributed all over the body. Without your knowledge, it happens, isn't it? All the senses functions well, and all the senses of knowledge, senses of action, all of them are able to execute their work properly. That is why it's said like that. Pranobahara chayendriyam. Pranam goes to all the places in the body. Circulation, pranam circulation happens well. Tadaiva sarvarhanam achyudejya. Similarly, if you serve Krishna wholeheartedly, completely surrendered to Krishna and offering everything to Krishna, the result is that everything else is taken care of. Then there is no more debt towards the demigods or the sages or the forefathers. There is no debt after that. So this is at a particular stage, this debt is concerned. Till we surrender to Krishna completely and take Krishna shelter. Up to that point, all this debt exists. Devarshi bodhaptanam pitranam nakingaro yayamrani charajan sarvalpanaya sharanam sharanyam gado mugundam parihrityakartam. That Dhruva Maharaj went to perform his penances. These are all in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj went to perform penances in the forest after he got hurt by Suruchi. Suruchi spoke very rudely to him. So, when Dhruva came back from the forest after 6 months, after he saw Krishna, Krishna told, gave him this benediction, you go back and rule the planet for 36,000 years and live there. And Uttanapada, Suniti, his father Uttanapada and his mother Suniti, they all received him. At that time, Suruchi, who was very harsh and rude to him, she also came to receive him. She also came to receive him. So, first thing, whom did she pay? Dhruva paid obeisances. This is the most interesting thing. He didn't pay obeisances to Suniti, his mother. He didn't pay obeisances to Uttanapada. He paid obeisances to Suruchi. What is the reason? Dhruva says there, if you have not spoken to me like that, I would have never gone to the forest. Look at the devotee's heart. That because you spoke to me like that, and you are my guru for that, for sending me that to the forest like that. And what else Dhruva noticed? That what Suruchi spoke earlier against Dhruva, now Suruchi's heart has changed completely. Dhruva noticed that. How, when you become a devotee, how it changes, even your enemies become friendly towards you. By the very change of heart that happens in the, that is the potency of Krishna consciousness. Great, great devotees, by their very presence, they have no enemies, but even if there is some enemy, they even change their position. So Suruchi took care of Dhruva at that time, and he mentions there at that time, like Narasimha said, Trisattva Vipida Bhuda Pidrubisahadenakam. And Maitreya Maharshi says at that time that in the case of a devotee, one who is blessed by Krishna, one who has received Krishna's mercy, in front of him, even his enemies will bow their head. Talking about Suniti. Suniti was very harsh towards Dhruva, to speak such harsh words, which sent Dhruva to the forest, isn't it? Now that Dhruva has come back, and even Suniti felt she should pay her respects to him. Such a quick change in Suruchi felt the need to pay her obeisances to Dhruva. So that is in the Bhagavadam. And Narasimha Murthy says to Prahlada, Trisaptami Pidavuda Pidabhi Sahadenaka Yet Sadhosya Grihe Jado Bhavanvai Kulabhavana. Bhishma went back to this spiritual world, isn't it? Demigods enjoyed Bhishma's return back to the spiritual world. Bhagavadam says, Tatra Dundvayo Nedur Devamana Vavadida Shashamsu Sadhavo Rajyankhat Pedu Pushpavrushtayam. That glorified Bhishma by showering flowers on Bhishma when he was coming back to the spiritual world. This Mother Earth becomes helpless when there is too many demons and then there is no devotees in this world. So therefore, when one devotee appears in this world, she gets very happy. Mother Earth feels very happy. So that's why it is mentioned Sanatha. That word that is used in that sutram, Sanatha, that's come from there. And Maitreya Maharshi, after seeing Vidura and his bhakti, Maitreya Maharshi's statement, Sat sevaniyo badapuru vamsho, yallogapalo bhagavad prathana, babhu videha jada kirti malam, pade pade nudana yasya bhishnam. That this family where you are born, which is Vidura was born, that is Puru's race, isn't it? Puru's race, that Puru's race is worshipable, he says, Maitreya Maharshi says, because personalities like you were born in that race. That is how Puru's race is famous. Not by any other reason. Because Vidura has appeared in Puru's race, that race has become famous because of that. So when great devotees appear, they not only purify the place, they also, because of their appearance, the place become glorified, and the family become glorified, and the whole race gets purified. Nasti. And they also, one person comes to this world where the rest of the world gets an opportunity to associate with him at that time. Nasti teshu jadi vidya rupa kulam dhanam kriyadi bhedaha. And he says here that devotees can appear anywhere. Doesn't matter. Anywhere they can appear. And nasti teshu, what it means is that in among them, there is no difference based on jadi. Jadi means their jadi, you have to understand in a different way. Jadi in India, if you say it's a caste, that's what it's referred to. But when Shastram says jadi, it means in a different level. Jadi means no matter what their nature is, it doesn't matter. Devotees can appear anywhere. That is the point. The people are all different all over the world, isn't it? So it says here, jadi could be different. Vidya, their education may be different. Rupam, their form of body may be different. Everyone has different body natures. Kulam, the race they were born may be different. Their wealth, financial status may be different. Kriya, their activities may be different. That does not take into account in the case of a devotee. A devotee who has taken Krishna consciousness seriously, for him, all these things does not matter. Does not matter. You will see this particularly among the devotees who appeared in the various places. Like in Maharashtra, when the devotees who appeared in Maharashtra, they all belong to different categories. One was a potter, one was a tailor, one was a Brahmana family. Like that, they all from different backgrounds they have come. But in Krishna consciousness, they are all same. They were all great personalities. They were all great personalities. Tukaram, Namadev, Ekanath, Yaneshwar, Nivrtinath, Sopan, Muktabai. There were many of them who appear. A number of devotees appear. They all frame from different backgrounds, different situations. Yaneshwar, Nivrtinath, Sopan and Muktibai, they were, Muktibai was one girl and three brothers. Son of, or they were all children of the same father. But they had in a very difficult situation, they took birth. In the sense, their father, he took sannyas and went away. And then after many years, he came back and married, and these children were born. And they were from a Brahmana background. And they had to go through so much insult because of that. A sannyasi coming back and starting a family life is considered like that. That they took back to family life again. So the children, they were born from that. All the Brahmanas rejected them. But they were such great devotees. There's a whole story about Yaneshwar, which is worthwhile to talk about. We'll see that later. So even from different backgrounds, they have come. But because they were devotees, Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Maharshi is saying here, Nasti teshu jadi vidya rupa kula dhana kriyadi vedaha. That difference does not exist there. That bodily features could be different sometimes. Some people, there could be devotees, but due to some bodily, handicaps or something like that, doesn't matter, but they are devotees, so they have a higher status. So there is no restriction. No qualification that you require something to be a devotee. people who are born in all kinds of backgrounds, illiterate, poor, and people have executed very bad things in this life, they also have become devotees at some time or the other. In the Bhagavatam, you will see there, Vyadhasya charanam dhruvasya javayo vidya gajendrasya ka kubjaya kimuna amarupamadhigam kimdal sudamno dhanam vamshakko vidurasya yadava padirugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalam najaguner bhakti priyo madhava. Krishna is pleased by bhakti, not by anything else. And an example is given here. Tuladhara, vyadhasya acharanam. To tell us that devotee can come from any background. This is the important thing. Any background, he can appear in this world. Why is it so important to say this to us? Is only in bhakti this can happen. In yoga margam, jnana margam, it's very difficult because that is a little bit different in that sense from bhakti. In bhakti means surrendering to Krishna. That is bhakti, simple terms. If you ask what is bhakti means, one who has completely surrendered to Krishna. That is bhakti. So here he gives the example. Tuladhara was a butcher and he became a devotee. He is a devotee, but he was a butcher. Normally what we will say, butcher is the last one we want to deal with in this world, isn't it? What to talk about butcher? We don't want to even walk in front of a meat shop when you see that. So much you feel disgust with that when you see that, isn't it? But can you imagine a devotee is working in a butcher shop and he's a devotee and Krishna is recognizing that. He's my devotee, Krishna is saying. And that is Tulavyada. The story is there in the Bhagavatam. Then, who else is named? Dhruvasya cham. By age, if you look, Dhruva was very small. Only 5 years old, he has become a devotee. This verse is saying to us, people from all backgrounds can become devotee. Doesn't matter. Age is not a bar. Male, female is not a bar. Man or woman is not a bar. And what kind of business you do in this world is not a varnam. What varnashramam is not a bad. Brahmachari, grihastha, sannyasam doesn't matter. Man, animal, bird, beast doesn't matter. You can be a devotee. That's what Bhagavatam is giving all these different examples to convince us this point that bhakti is not only limited to human society. It can happen in any species. It can happen. That is why Gajendra's story was brought. To tell us, as a Gajendra also, you can be a devotee, an elephant.
Jadayu.
Elephant's word. Jadayu for the bird. A bird can be a devotee. In the Ramayanam, Jadayu is famous, isn't it? So, Dhruvasya Javayo Vidya Gajendra Syakam. So, what education Gajendra had? Spiritually, nothing. He was an elephant, isn't it? Why elephant? Elephant's body is considered to be in the deepest ignorance. Therefore, that is why he was cursed to become an elephant by Agastya. Agastya cursed him to become an elephant because he did not, Indradyumna did not offer any respects to Agastya when Agastya visited him. So Agastya felt offended by Krishna's arrangement. He cursed him to become an elephant. So Indradyumna had to become an elephant. But even when he became an elephant, he has not forgotten about Krishna. That bhakti has followed him. And in that elephant's body also, he is always a leader still. That is what Bhattadri said to Krishna like that your devotee, Paramolkarsha Labha, wherever he goes, he will always take the highest position. Even when he was an elephant, he is the leader of all the elephants. Isn't it? And when this crocodile caught his leg, and was stuck in the 1,000 years, they were pulling this way, that way, the crocodile and the elephant. And ultimately, all that ego gone, everything finished. And ultimately, he had to surrender, he had no choice. Narayana, Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, the famous prayers in the Bhagavatam. So, in an elephant's body, he became a top class devotee. Then, Kubja's story you know in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kubja, also known as Sairandri, Trivakra, that's all her different names. So this Kubja, what has she done in spiritual life? All she did was, she was walking through the street, carrying these perfumes and other things for Kamsa. Krishna and Balaram comes on the same road. When Kubja saw Krishna and Balaram, got attracted to Krishna's beauty. Krishna went and asked to Kubja, where are you taking all this special perfumery? Where are you taking it to? She says, don't you know me? I am Krishna, Kamsa's servant maid. I am taking this to beautify Kamsa. So Krishna says, will you give it to me? Kubja says, who else is more qualified than you? That is bhakti. That's all sufficient. And Kubja gave sufficient this purifying things or the perfumes for Balaram and Krishna. And then what did she do? She held Krishna's hand and says, let's go home now. Says Krishna looked at Balaram's face with a little bit in a jalina, we say. Jalina means a kind of uneasiness. He looked at Balaram, says, what is going to happen now? Says, then Krishna somehow managed to escape from there, saying to her that I'll come back later after I finished all my other business. And later on, Krishna did go and see Kubja. And they had a relationship. A son was born from that, mentioned as Upashloka. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in other Puranam you will see. A son was born from, Kubja had a son from Krishna called Upashloka. Upashloka was his name. So what I'm saying is, what was Kubja's qualification? Just that she was fortunate, and that is mercy, Krishna's pure mercy that it is, that she felt the right thing to do, that to glorify and serve Krishna at that point. That made Krishna changed the whole life of her, isn't it? Krishna put his feet on Kubja's feet and gave a lift to the chin, and the three bends in your body was gone, and she was looking so beautiful at that time. After Krishna has removed all the bends in the body. She had three bends in the body. That's why she was called Trivakra. All the three bends gone and she was looking straight after that. Looked very beautiful. So in the Bhagavatam it says, what has Kubja done to please Krishna? Except this little thing, what she has done. Kimu namarubam adhigam kim tan sudam no dhanam. So, Sudama. Sudama was in extreme poverty, isn't it? Extreme poverty. Krishna felt that Sudama should not be in poverty anymore. Krishna made the decision. So you can see all of them pleased Krishna through bhakti. Whether it is Sudama, whether it is Gajendra, whether it is Tuladhara, or anybody for that matter. Vamshakko vidurasya yadava pade udrasyam. Vidura was by birth Dasi Putra, he was, isn't it? He was a Dasi Putra. Because he was by birth, he is considered as a Shudra. He's not in the same position as Vichitravirya and Chitrangada, who were born, Ambambiga and Baliga. And from there they were born, wasn't he? So you know how that happened, don't you? How Vidura was born. Ambaliga. Mother Satyavadi Devi, Satyavadi Devi told Vedavyasa Maharshi to have children from these three princesses. Out of that, Amba, I think, left because Amba was already agreed to marry, Salu, I think, and went away. But Ambaliga's case, none of them liked Vedavyas. Vedavyas by appearance was very, very ugly looking, to tell you the truth. If you look at Vedavya's personal features, born from Satyavadi's son, isn't it? And Parashramarshi's son, Satyavadi was the mother. And Vedavya's full of this beard, long beard and matted hair. And the body was very, like the sages have their bodies, they don't care for the bodies very much, do they? They are always very, not very playboy looking. They look very, they are not dressed up well. They look very, so when Vedavyas was asked to have children from these girls, that they first did not want to associate with Vedavyas, seeing his physical appearance was not very impressive to them. So what Ambaliga did, Ambaliga sent her servant maid to him, to have us. So in that relationship, Vidura was born. That's why his mother is not from a very higher background in that sense. So therefore, Vidura is a Shudra in that sense. It was a curse on Vidura, as he was cursed by Mandavya Muni. Yamadharmaraja was cursed and he had to come like this in Vidura's body. So when Vidura appeared, that Vidura has become a great devotee. So what Bhagavatam is saying to us is, irrespective of where you are born, what race you are born, what species you are born, bhakti is possible in all circumstances. Nothing can stop you in becoming a devotee. And example also given about Sudama. Sudama, Krishna noticed that he is a devotee. Let him have everything what he needs. And Krishna organized everything. Vamshako vidurasyam yadava paderugrasya kim paurusham. Then we have the story of in the Bhagavatam, Ambarish Maharaj. On one side, such a wealthy emperor, Ambarish, he is also a devotee, Krishna's devotee. Ambarish is a devotee. Parikshit is a devotee. Yudhishthira Maharaj is a devotee. They are all kings and great, great personalities, big men. They are also devotees. And on the other side of the scale, you see, Sudama is a devotee. Sudama and Ambarish, you can't compare. One is full of wealth, opulences. The other one extremely poor. Extremely poor. Both are Krishna's devotees. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, why Bhagavatam was written like this was to tell us, no matter in which circumstances you are born, which race you are born, and which background you are born, irrespective of that, you can be a first-class devotee. This is the point. This is the point Bhagavatam is telling us. It doesn't require any other thing except that bhakti. Bhakti is the only thing. And that is why it is spoken like that. And Ugrasena, that is Kamsa's father, he lost his kingdom because Kamsa threw him out and took the position, isn't it? So Ugrasena got back his position. How did he get it back? Because of Krishna. Krishna accepted Ugrasena's bhakti towards him. So bhakti alone, it says here, bhaktya tushyati kevalam. Only bhakti pleases Krishna. Naja guner bhakti priyo madhava. Not that what other qualifications you have got. Naja guner bhakti priyo madhava. Krishna is pleased with someone who has bhakti. That is the qualifications. Bhakti alone is the qualifications for to please Krishna. Bhagavatam says, bhavo matpadam prapta tvashtrakaya dhava daya. Mrushabarva, Beli, Bano, Yamaschata, Vibhishana, Sugrivo, Hanuman, Rashogajo, Gradrovani, Pata, Vyada Kubja, Vraje, Gopya, Yetnavatnya, Tathabare, Tenadhi, the Shudiganaha, Nobasi, the Mahatamaha, Avrada, Tapta, Tavasaha, Salsangan, Mam, Upagadaha, Kevalene, Hibhavena, Gopyo, Gavo, Nago, Amrgaha, Ye, Anye, Mutadio, Nagaha, Siddha, Mami, Yuranjasaha. This is Krishna is talking about how this bhakti will develop in a person through satsangam. That is the only way Krishna says to develop bhakti. Simply associating with devotees who are absorbed in Krishna. That is the easiest way, Krishna says, to become a devotee. If you get the association of pure devotees, that will generate that bhakti inside. And in answer to that, Krishna says, all these personalities, this is from the Bhagavatam, he says, all these personalities, they became devotees through association. And he gives the list here. Tvashtra Kayadhavadaya. Kayadhu is Prahlada's mother. Prahlada's mother is Kayadhu. Kayadhava is Prahlada. Prahlada became a devotee through association from Narada Maharshi. Sri Narada Maharshi's association. And Vrishabharva, he is a king. Mahabali, who is Vrishabharva if you remember? That Yayadi married Devayani and Sharmishta. Devayani was Shukracharya's daughter. Sharmishta was Vrishabharva's daughter. So that Vrishabharva, whose son, daughter Sharmishta got married to Yayati, from there two children were born, and in that family Krishna appeared later. Through that, Vrishabharva got liberated. He became a devotee because of that. Vrishabharva, Beli, Mahabali. We know the story, Mahabali story is there in the Bhagavatam in the 8th canto. How? Through, because Prahlada's grandfather. Grandfather is Prahlada, isn't it? Through that, Mahabali became a devotee. And Bana. Bana was a demon. He was Lord Shiva's devotee. And he was such a devotee, he says to Lord Shiva that one day when he used to visit Lord Shiva very often in Kailas, One day when Bana went to see him, Shiva noticed some change in him. By now, Bana has become very powerful and he had 1,000 hands in him with him. So he went there and Shiva asked him, how are things getting on with Bana? Bana says that all my hands are getting a little bit uneasy. Shiva says, why, what's the problem? I haven't got anybody to fight with, he says. Basically, he's telling this to his guru, to Shiva, that can you fight with me? Indirectly, he's putting the question to him. Shiva understood, yes, yes, you need someone to fight with you. But I'm not the right person for that. Somebody will come to you. When one day you will see, one day you will see that your flag, when it's broken, you will see the right person is coming to visit you. About Krishna's arrival, introduction to that. So Mahabali, Bana had fought the war with Krishna, but protected by Shiva. Shiva told Krishna, he is my devotee, don't do anything to him. Krishna cut off all the hands except 2 hands, left behind there. So that is how you see there in the Mahabali's case, Bana's case. Yamaschada Vibhishanam. Then Vibhishana. Vibhishana story you know in Ramayanam, how Vibhishana is a devotee. Coming from Ravana's brother, is a devotee. Imagine that. Ravana's brother is a devotee. Just to tell us only one thing, that's why all these different people are brought in, that to become a devotee, background is not important. Background is not important. It can be from anywhere, under any circumstances. All that is required is to surrender to Krishna. That's where all the problem is. So, similarly, Sugriva, among the monkey, he is the best one. A monkey can become a devotee. Hanuman, same category. Jambavan, same category. Gajendra, of course, elephant. Jadayu, the bird. Tuladhara, Tuladhara story you know in Ramayanam. When Ramchandra was, when Sita Devi was being carried away by Ravana, at that time Jadayu wanted to fight with Ravana. And Jadayu took his sword and cut Jadayu's both wings. And Jadayu fell on the ground. And Ramchandra came there, saw what happened. And Jadayu spoke to Ramachandra that Ravana has taken Sita Devi away. And Ramachandra started crying. See thus the sacrifice what Jadayu has done and gave bhakti to Jadayu. Jadayu became a devotee. Like that, went back to the spiritual world. All these people in the Puranas, what you notice is that although they came from different backgrounds and different species, different birth, in spite of all that, they all became devotees. Just to tell us the beauty of bhakti. Beauty of bhakti. And all this has happened through satsangam. This is the important point he is making here. Then also gives the example of Kubja, the gopis of Vrindavanam, the wives of the brahmanas, you know, all of them, they have come back to me in this way. It says, Srinarada Maharshi says, none of them, what is important here is, if you look into this list, none of them have studied any shastram. None of them have performed any austerities or penances. None of them had any other qualifications except that they had satsangam. Tenadhida shudiganaha, they never studied shruti. No vasida mahattamaha, they have not served any great personalities. Avradaha tapta tapasaha, then if you ask them for their credentials, what sacrifice have you done? Or what austerities or penances you have performed? Nothing. Avrata tapta dasaha. But then one thing, salsangan maam upagadaha. They had such wonderful satsangam. Powerful satsangam they had. Through satsangam, they became devotees. They all became devotees. Krishna is saying this only to glorify importance of satsangam. If you read in the 12th chapter of the 11th canto, you will see there. Constant satsangam, when one gets that, without any effort, you became the best among the devotees. Provided you get that constant satsangam, continuously, satsangam. So that is why the important point that was mentioned there. Krishna says this to Uddhava, these things. So in the 83rd sutram, in the same Bhakti sutram, you will see something important. What does he say there? Then he says there, 13 authorities on bhakti. Authorities on bhakti. 13 personalities. He mentions there. Kumara, Vyasa, Shuka, Shandilya, Garga, Vishnu, Kaundinyam, Shesha, Uddhava, Aruni, Beli, Hanuman, Vibhishana, Adaya. So, all these 13 authorities, then either all of them were propagated bhakti or their authorities on bhakti. And also, as an example, he also, Narada Maharshi specifically mentioned, Yatha Vraja Gopiganam, the gopis of Vrindavanam, he mentions there. Then, but nowhere, you will notice one thing, he has not mentioned about Prahlada anywhere in the Bhakti Sutram. His name is not mentioned anywhere. Prahlada's name is not mentioned anywhere. This is, so, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even the demigods, they consider Prahlada as a perfect devotee. Normally, demons and devotees don't get on very well, do they? In the Bhagavatam, you will see, they were always fighting each other. But when it comes to Prahlada, the demigods have a soft corner for him because he is a devotee. He is a devotee. Demigods consider like that about him. So, after writing this Bhakti Sutram, and Narada Maharshi, after this Bhakti Sutram was written, that somebody asked Narada Maharshi, is there someone who has such highest level of love of God, bhakti, in other words, and even when one loses his life, he will not forget Krishna. Is there anyone like that? So, Narada Maharshi thought, and he mentioned the name as Prahlada. That's how Prahlada. Prahlada's name was not mentioned in the Bhakti Sutram. But when somebody asked Narada Maharshi, is there a devotee of that status who will comply with all these requirements, what Narada Maharshi has mentioned in the Bhakti Sutram, and who is so surrendered to Krishna, he said, someone like that, he mentions to them that this is the person he wants. Why? First of all, it is his direct disciple, see, Narada Maharshi. So Narada Maharshi always takes great pride in Prahlada. Another thing, Prahlada in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very attractive personality. If you read Prahlada's heart, if you can understand his heart, you won't see a much more noble a heart than Prahlada in the Bhagavatam. His prayers and his dealings with his father, his dealing with his friends, his dealings with Narasimham also, Narasimhamurti itself, is something worthwhile reading through. And his understanding of bhakti. That is why personalities like Yudhishthira and others wanted to be like Prahlada because of this. So, Sri Narada Maharshi kept Prahlada in a separate category. He even wanted to say to the world, if there is one devotee in this world who has reached that stages and beyond, that is my disciple Prahlada, he says. Such is the recognition for Prahlada in the Bhagavatam also. You can see why right in the middle of Bhagavatam, Prahlada has been brought in. Seventh canto. Isn't it? Seventh canto. One whole canto for Prahlada. All the most of the story is Prahlada in that seventh canto. It's Prahlada's life. So, and that too, this Prahlada, where did he get all this realization from? He was inside Kayadu's womb. He was staying. Sri Narada Maharshi understood this is a great personality inside. Let me instruct him about spiritual life. He instructed to Prahlada, to Kayadu, to the mother. Mother didn't get it. Son got it inside the womb. While living inside the womb, he got these instructions from Narada Maharshi. So when he came out from the womb, he was already self-realized. He has realized the truth. There is no higher devotee than Prahlada. Narada Maharshi experimented with various people. And ultimately he found out somebody, because his experience was that when Prajina Bhara, his children, when Hariashwa and Shabalashwa, you remember, they went to perform, Daksha's children, Hariashwa and Shabalashwa, they went to perform penances. Narada Maharshi met them on the way. And he instructed them on spiritual life. So they gave up everything, went to the forest, performed spiritual activities, and they realized the truth and they left this world. Daksha got angry with him. With who? With Narada Maharshi. And Daksha got so heavy with him, cursed him, that you will not be able to stay anywhere for more than a time till you milk a cow. That was the curse on him. So Narada Maharshi accepted that. And he tried this, experimented this many, many people. And everywhere there was problem. And eventually he thought that older people, it's no point in telling them anything. It's too late. They have already gone. Now lost case. There's nothing you can do. So he started becoming, talking to younger people again and again. Eventually he caught hold of this, in the Bhagavatam you will see, that he was instructing young people about it. And ultimately he found there also that desire for sense gratification is there. So he goes to Dhruva, who is 5 years old. And even when Dhruva came back after seeing Krishna, he could notice that Dhruva also had some little bit of material desire to fulfill. He wanted to be the emperor, and so Krishna gave him that mercy like that and sent him back. And then he decided that I will talk to someone before he comes out from the womb. And that's how he goes to Prahlada. And that is how he caught hold of Prahlada. He wanted to test on everyone who will take it very easily without too much problem. So he found out that before he comes out, this spiritual knowledge must be given to that person. And that's how he went to Prahlada, and Prahlada got instructed by Sri Narada Maharshi, and when he came out of the womb, he was already realized. You can see the words if you read from Prahlada, it's not coming from a newly born baby or from a young boy or 5 years old. When Prahlada is talking about Buddhir Jagarana Sapta Sushupti Ridivrataya, he is saying that there is three states of existence, wakefulness, dream state and deep sleep. Will have any 5 year old boy speak like this? But that's the language he was talking about. Self-realization. The power of realization is that, what it is. And he says also that the lot of things, that body will go through 6 kind of changes. The soul has no change. Things which will Vedanta philosophy, the highest level, Prahlada is speaking at that age. So that is why it's mentions like that, that Hiranyakashipu went to the forest and Kayadhu was pregnant and Indra wanted to steal her. Narada went and stopped her. Indra left her. And at that time, Kayadhu was taken over by Sri Narada Maharshi, told her, you come and stay in my ashram. Why is that? Narada Maharshi knew that in the womb of Kayadhu, there is a great, great personality there. Prahlada, he knew that. And he told Indra, don't touch her. That is how he managed. Because Indra wanted to kill her. Kayadhu. Why? Because Indra knew that the seed of Hiranyakashipu is in her womb. Or who? Hiranyakashipu's womb. Hiranyakashipu's seed is in Kayadhu's womb. So there will be another big demon going to come out from there. Hiranyakashipu enough had given them enough trouble, isn't it? Hiranyakashipu threw them out from their demigods' planets. As soon as Hiranyakashipu walked in, they all left the place. Walked away. They didn't even fight. Jugur Mahendra Sanemojanastidam Vishwavasastumburu Apsadadaya. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see. Hiranyakashipu walks into the demigod's planets and he saw Indra's throne. With the left foot, he gave a kick in Indra's throne. He says, that's how you much care for Indra. How much he care for Indra. That Hiranyakashipu's strength. Krishna is sending from the spiritual world, isn't it? So Krishna made sure, it is my servant. He should have his status also. So, Krishna is all the way, although he has come in that body of Hiranyakashipu, he was always well looked after by Krishna, all the opulence in this world. When Hiranyakashipu ruled the planet was full of opulences everywhere. And demigods, they got frightened of him when he was coming and they walked away from there. So that's why in the Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami says about his coming, Jagur Mahendrasanam Ojasasthidam, that Mahendrasanam, Indra's throne was there. He was not bothered about anything. He first gave a good kick. Throw away your asana from here, he said. And threw it out from there. That's how powerful he was from the nature of Hiranyakashipu. So you can see here that he got frightened. Seeing this Hiranyakashipu, Indra got frightened. So he thought, at least let me kill his seed, which is there, and wanted to kill Kayadhu. But Narada Maharshi protected him. Why? Narada Maharshi knew that there's a great soul inside Kayadhu's womb. And so, to tell us then, he was Hiranyakashipu's son. Imagine that. Hiranyakashipu's son, but greatest of all the devotees. To tell us that, it doesn't matter where we were born, in what family we were born, immaterial of all that. To stress that point, that this personality, Prahlada, has been brought in into the Bhagavatam. So, birth, place of birth, family background, knowledge, all these things is not critical for bhakti. It's not a criteria for bhakti. In knowledge, yes. In knowledge, training is necessary very much. Studying Shastram and the proper association with the right guru and his training, all that matters a lot in the knowledge process, Jnana Margam. Yoga Margam, yes, you need to have a teacher who can teach you the proper yoga processes, Ashtanga Yoga. In Bhakti Margam, nothing except surrender. Surrender is the only key to bhakti, nothing else. Surrender is the only key to bhakti. So therefore, Vedavyasa Maharshi, instead of speaking about Prahlada in the Bhakti Sutram, he spoke about him exhaustively in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He brought Prahlada in the Bhagavatam and gave a very, very expanded view of Prahlada. Compared to, you will see all other disciples of Narada Maharshi. About Prahlada, he himself spoke first. All other stories were spoken by Sudev Goswami or others. But about Prahlada, Narada Maharshi himself spoke, and he spoke at length, in elaborately about him. A special recognition for Prahlada. So, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, is nothing but an expanded version of this Bhakti Sutram. And among that, Prahlada is his most ideal devotee. Most ideal devotee. So, therefore he says here, for the appearance of devotees, now nothing matters. Nothing is taken into account for a devotee. Appearance, place where he is born, the race where he is born, the family background, or the background as far as nature. And devotee can take birth anywhere. Devotees can take birth anywhere. This is the principle. This is only can happen in bhakti process. Not in Jnana Margam or in Karma Margam, Yoga Margam. It is little different. But Bhakti Margam, one can take birth anywhere, in any circumstances, and he can be a devotee. That's why in the next verse he says, in the next sutram, yadastadiyaha. Yadastadiyaha. That's all he said. Yadastadiyaha. Because it is like that, why we call them? They are Krishna's people. Devotee. Devotees? Krishna's people they are. You can't take them away from Krishna. They are looked after by Krishna. Krishna takes care of them. It is directly under Krishna's shelter. Normally among the Brahmanas, they have different gotram. Gotra means based on the, they all have descended from different sages. For example, there is gotram based on Bharadwaja gotram. There is gotram based on the Karna Maharshi. So different gotram, they are mentioned like that. And when they go to perform different, this is in the Vedic system, when they go to perform different ceremonies, they will be asked which gotram they belong to. Because every gotram comes from a particular sage, rishi. But for devotees, which gotram they belong to? The name given is Achyuta gotram, Krishna's gotram. Mm-hmm. They have a special place like that. If a devotee, anybody asks, which gotram do you belong to? Achyuta gotram. It is Krishna's gotram. It is. Krishna and devotees are always together. So they are Krishna's people. It doesn't matter where they were born, which conditions they were born. So, so idam hi vishwam bhagavani vetaro yado jagalsthana nirodha sambhava. In the first canto, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this. Ihidam hi vishwam bhagavani vetaro yado jagalsthana nirodha sambhava. In the higher state of realization of the soul, in the higher state of realization, idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro, this world and Krishna is non-different. This world and Krishna is non-different. Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro yado jagalsthan nirodha sambhava. Then everything has come from Krishna, it is staying in Krishna, and it will go back to Krishna at the end. Aham evasam evagre nanyadil sadasalparam paschad aham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmiham. That this world, what we see now, what we see separately from Krishna, is due to our misunderstanding, because lack of self-realization in us, knowledge of the soul. We see world is separate, Krishna is separate. That is how we have conditioned like that, isn't it? We have come to come to that understanding in us. We see things through senses, through the mind, and we perceive this world as separate from Krishna. When self-realization happens, world is non-different from Krishna. It is Krishna in another form sitting there in the form of this world. That understanding will come. It's if you study the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Purushottama Yogam it is called. It's a very high state of realization. To see the world as Krishna. What this world, as you see today, is Krishna present there. That is Purushottama Yogam. Purushottama Yogam is called because of that. That Purushottama Yogam is all centered around this understanding. Seeing Krishna as this world. Seeing Krishna as this world. So, Purushottama Yogam, important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter. One of the important chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. So, that is why it mentions, Idam hi vishvam bhagavani vetaro yato jagalsthana nirodha sambhavam. Because it is from Krishna the world has come. And it is only due to Krishna the world is there. And when Krishna decides, this world disappears. Isn't it? How? Let's understand that. Five material elements. What we see now is five material elements in different combinations. Isn't it? In the form of wood, in the form of stone, in the form of glass, in the form of material elements, all mixed up in different combinations. Five material elements mixed up. That's what we see in this world as the gross matter. Gross matter. Now, this matter, what you see, has become like that only due to the presence of Chaitanya, living force in that. If there is no living force, this matter could not have turned into these different forms and shapes. Namarupam. It is called Namarupam. Namarupam means name and form. It has got name and form. It has got name, it has got a form. We call something as wood. It has got wood, it has got a particular characteristics, features, and it is the name and it is the form. It is a name and it is a form. Similarly, everything in this creation, if you look, you will see everything has got a name, everything has got a form. This Namarupam, Asti Bhadi Priyam Namarupam, if five things are coming from the soul, from Paramatma they come. And they will disappear also in its own time. So, to understand that, this Namam Rupam is nothing but Krishna's another form in this world. That, of course, requires a deeper realization. In a much higher state, that realization happens. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinarada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, you know this very well, he says to him. What is that? Idam hi vishwam, this world, Bhagavani ve etaro, is not different from Krishna. Yado jagalsthana nirodha sambhavam. So therefore, natural way, the living entities of this world, they have a connection with Krishna. Because how did we appear? Because Krishna entered into us. That's how we all got life from there. So, more important for Krishna, that is more important. When a living entity feeling desperate in this world and goes and takes Krishna shelter, Krishna immediately give a shelter to that devotee. Because for that person who has taken the shelter, it's a natural relationship. Krishna is sitting within us. And Krishna knows he is present inside us. And the relationship is so strong for us with Krishna than with the matter in this world. Unfortunately, in our avidya or ajnanam or ignorance, we think we have strong connection with the world rather than Krishna. But Shastram is teaching us our connection with Krishna is stronger than our connection with the world. Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro yato jagalsthana nirodha sambhava. When living entities feels totally helpless, whom will they call except Krishna? Remember this example I mentioned before. When we were born, when we were babies, whichever hospital we were born, doesn't matter. Wherever we were born, as soon as you were born, what do you, first thing we do? We cry, don't we? All of us have cried. No, I don't think anyone can say I didn't cry at the time when I was born. All of us cried, isn't it? We cried. And we didn't know we had a father or mother. No knowledge. Nor do we know anybody is going to come and look after us. Helplessly we are crying there at that time. When we took birth, I'm saying. And cried and cried. Started coming out itself crying. First appearance in this world. Crying. Crying. But when we cried, help came from somewhere. Isn't it? who made arrangements that we'll be given the milk, we'll be looked after, we'll be cared for. Who was making that arrangement except Krishna? Krishna has arranged everything in a way. That's why we are here today. We are sitting here and talking. Because somebody has looked after at that time. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that we would have grown up. We could have been finished there itself. But somebody looked after us and brought us up. And same hands at the time of death also. While leaving this body, what happens? We come to a very helpless state. Very, very helpless state. Nobody is able to help you at that time. Relatives and friends, they will come to check out when the funeral is. They'll want to find out if it is a day off from the work, they have to take a day off or not. That's all they are concerned about. Whether you are leaving the world. Even inside, they'll be thinking, oh, quickly it's finished and gone, the headache is finished. That's what they'll be thinking about. But they won't say that to you. They'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. They'll bring you flowers or they'll bring you some sweets or whatever. This is Krishna's Mahaprasadam. Have a little bit of this and everything will be all right. They'll tell you all these kind of things, but you know nothing is all right. You're miserably suffering there, not knowing anything where to go. What's that? The truth is something different. So at that time, you'll also realize it. Nobody can help you. You'll come to that state. You can also escape this from this world without that happening. It can happen. But that is once in a way it can happen. But majority of cases, we'll have to go to hospital and back and forth for a few months and then take the blood every time when you go there, a few liters blood out. And then this x-ray, that x-ray, this MRI, that scan, this scan. All this will go on for months after month. And then one day you'll feel helpless. They'll take you and put you there. And say, you stay here now. And the chances of coming back is very little after that. Mostly you'll stay there. So while living there, you will start realizing so much illusion I have lived in this world, thinking that I had my friends, I had my society. Where is all the friends? Where is all the society? That's all gone. That's all. They have no time anymore. They are busy making their money there somewhere else. So they have no time for you now. So at that time you realize that this is what this life has got to offer in this world. Nothing more than that. And you will come to your senses. Whom will you call at that time? Will you be calling your son and son-in-law or nephews or no? You are already given up on them because you realize that they also can't help you at that time. Body is giving so much trouble that you just want to get out of this body. Even there, Krishna's sanction is required. If Krishna holds you back there, no, your karma is not finished. Stay there for a while. So then what do you do? Whom will you call? You have to call Krishna. So when you are born, you have to call Krishna. When you are leaving the body, you have to call Krishna. Bhagavatam's question to us, why in the middle you want to be so independent? Why can't you accept Krishna's shelter in the middle? Why in the middle alone you think yourself so proud that you feel that you have to be independent and you feel shy to take Krishna's shelter? That is why it mentions here that the that Devahuti Devi, Yado Jagalstana Nirodhasam Bhava. Because the reality is that actually we have only one shelter in this world, that is Krishna. And if you have accepted that, you won't have any distress in this world. Anything happens, you will understand and see things properly. Because we put the faith in the false place, therefore we have problems, we suffer in this world. If we don't put our faith in the wrong place, we are protected. And whatever Krishna decides, that is our fate. And that is how things are going to happen. So, otherwise we are not going to accept this surrender very easily. This is the principle behind surrender. Krishna is saying to us that is why these verses, Yato Jagalsthanam Nirodha Sambhavam, at the time of birth and at the time of death, who gave you shelter? And the same person is capable of giving you shelter even during your life in this world. If we accept it, we have made a little progress in spiritual life. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. Not that all the rituals, how many times you did the arati, how many times you made the garland. That is another thing. This surrender is the bhakti. Bhagavatam's bhakti is this surrender to accepting Krishna, that Krishna alone is the shelter in this world. That is bhakti. No matter what happens in this world, things will happen. While in this material existence, anything can happen. In Maya's world, anything can happen. Nothing is in our control. Krishna decides what is good for us. Aho badam. So, to stress that point in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, Kapila Vasudev and Devahuti Devi, there is a conversation, isn't it? So, it says here, they say, Ahobada. Devahuti Devi was instructed by Kapila Vasudev. Devahuti Devi had a lot of sense gratification with Kardama Prajapati. Afterwards, Kardama Prajapati left her and went to the forest for self-realization. Devahuti stayed back and asked her son, what should I do now? Kapila Vasudev instructed, famous notes in the Shastram as Kapilam. That 8 chapters in the 3rd canto, 25 to 33. So those 8 chapters known as Kapilam is Kapila Maharshi's contribution. And this Kapilam is particularly important in all the different philosophies in the Vedic system. Sangyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshiyam, Puramimamsa, Uttaramimamsa. There are 6 darshanam they are called in the Vedam. And among the Vedam, this Sangyam has a very higher place from Kapila Vasudev, because Sangyam has influenced all other branches to some extent, all other philosophical processes. Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshiyam, Puramimamsa, even Uttaramimamsa, which is Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam, also has taken the knowledge from Sangyam. So Sangyam is particularly given a lot of value for that. And that Sangyam was spoken by Kapila. And Kapila happened to be the mother of Devahuti Devi. So Kapila's Devahuti Devi says to Kapila, Ahobadashubajato Giriyan, Yajihuagre Vartade Namatubhyam, Tebustabaste Juhuvu Sasnurarya, Brahma Nojurnama Granandiye Te. Says there that Devahuti, after hearing the process of bhakti from Kapila Vasudev, says, Ahobadashubajato Giriyan. So even if he is a dog eater, who is considered to be the lowest among the human species who eats dogs, Ahobada Shabajoto Giriyan. He, if he chants Krishna's holy name, he is superior to a Vipra. Vipra means a Brahmana. Now, let's understand, Brahmana are different categories. First category of Brahmana is those who are born in the Brahmana family, for example. But they never followed anything. No proper samskaram, neither following any principles. They just got birth somehow or the other. They are called Brahmabandhu. Brahmabandhu they are called. One step further, if you go, they have studied following certain principles, regulations and everything, but haven't developed much of a bhakti inside. Bhakti hasn't developed. But they follow certain rules and regulations. They are called Vipra. They are called Vipra. I mean, they follow the rules and regulations. And then, if you go a step further, there are Brahmanas who have studied Vedas. They have chanted all, they have learned all how to chant the Vedas. Vedam is a vague thing. It's a thousands and thousands of hymns. Just by chanting them, they purify the place. In all big temples, they chant the Vedas for that purpose. So there are those who have studied those Vedic hymns and they can chant properly. They are on a higher step than the Vipra. Then higher than them is another category of Brahmanas who have understood the meaning of these hymns. And they have found out how these mantras have come into existence. They are called mantra drashtava. Drashtava means through them, some of the Vedas were released. They can see these mantras' influence in this world. And they can also see how these mantras have come into existence. That means they have gone a higher state than that. Higher than that is the person, Brahmana, who has studied all the Vedam, Shastram, everything. And he has understood this one thing. I have to have self-realization in this very life before I leave this body. It's on the topmost level he is there. Now, Devahuti Devi is saying here, higher than a Vipra is a person, even if he is a Chandala, he is chanting the holy name. If he is chanting the holy name. Just to make us realize that chanting the holy name is not something to be taken very lightly. If one can chant the holy name with understanding from Srimad Bhagavatam, that Bhagavatam is also called Idam Bhagavatam Namam Puranam Brahma Samhidam. It is also called Namo Puranam. That means Srimad Bhagavatam has only one thing to tell us, to chant the holy name. To stress the importance of chanting the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. So, Tebu Ye Jihvagre Vartade Namatubhyam. On whose tongue, at the tip of the tongue, the holy name is always dancing. Such a person, Tebustapaste Juhuvu Sasnurayam Brahma Nojurnama Granandiyete. He has already performed. You may wonder, although he was born in a dog-eater's family, but because certainly if he is chanting the holy name, you have to take it. Sometime in his previous life, he has studied Shastram. He has studied Shastram. Brahma no jornama granandiyede. Not only Shastram, he had association with the such devotees. They have performed pilgrimage, sacrifices, and even studied the Vedas sometime before. Only if it has happened in previous lifetime, they could chant now the holy name, even if they have come from a dog-eater's family. This is Devahuti Devi's statement to Kapila Vasudev in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto. So, and you can also see here, once a devotee has handed over himself to Krishna, then Krishna accepts him and considers him as his property. But we have to hand over ourselves to him first. That's the first thing. Once it is not done, we are not Krishna's property. A devotee who hands over his body, the mind, intelligence, everything to Krishna and leave completely to Krishna's hands, that Krishna is the maintainer and Krishna is everything, in that case, it is Krishna's property. It is not anymore our property. The body is not ours anymore. The mind is not ours. Senses are not ours. So that is the situation what he is talking about. Ajamila, although he called his son as Narayana and called him, Krishna's representatives came. Vishnu Parshadas, Parshadasas came. So similarly, Krishna also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas Chindayan Domam, Yojana Paryubhasade Tesham Nithyabhiktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. Krishna has given a guarantee. That is Krishna's guarantee card in the Bhagavad Gita. That anyone who is complete, Ananyas Chinda, that is the important thing. Surrender has to be complete. If one surrenders to me completely, Krishna says, it's my responsibility. Otherwise not. Ananyas Chindayendomam Yejanam Paryupasade Tesham Nithyabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Mahamyaham. All his welfare is my responsibility, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So, because it is like that, sometimes, even when the jiva, conditioned soul, forgets about Krishna, Krishna cannot forget the conditioned soul. So, for a father, a good son and a bad son doesn't exist. For him, all are son, his own son. And, in fact, a father is more concerned about a bad son than about a good son. Isn't it? A good son, he knows, won't get into trouble. A bad son will get into all sorts of trouble. So, father's side, the anxiety is always with the bad one. Not with the good one. Good one is not causing any trouble. Isn't it? So, that is why, because it is like that, Siddhartha Maharshi is going to tell us certain things. How a devotee should conduct himself in this world. That's the first thing he wants to tell us. He's saying to us, if you are a devotee, proper devotee, surrender to Krishna, properly surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will protect you. A devotee who has that faith within Krishna's protection, he should not get into any argument with anyone. This is one principle. Vado na avalambya. This is the principle. A devotee need not get into any argument with anyone. Vado na avalambya. You should not depend on vadam, argument with anybody, on anything. There is no need for that. Because if you are in that state of a devotee who realizes that Krishna is protecting you, Krishna is looking after devotee, why should I worry? That should be the devotee's attitude. So many things will happen in this world. Whatever has to happen will happen. A devotee has to be strong enough to see that Krishna's protection is guaranteed under all circumstances. Therefore, a devotee should not take the shelter of argument with anyone in any issue. You can present your understanding. If somebody does not accept it, you just have to leave it. You don't have to force it upon anyone. Oh, my preaching has not been successful. I have preached so much, but the man has not understood. So, you don't have to make any conclusions like that. The main instruction Narada Maharshi has to tell us is, a devotee, vado na avalambya. You should not depend on, engage in arguments. Because in the sadhana stage, when you are started sadhana, this arguments is harmful. Arguments is harmful. And when you have realized the truth, also there will be no argument. So why in between you argue? That's the question. Sri Dhana Maharshi is saying to us that in the sadhana stage, it is troublesome. If you get into argument with any other devotee, look, Prabhu, it is not like this. This is what I heard from somewhere else. So what you are telling is not the right one. And it will develop into argument, isn't it? It will develop into argument because in spiritual life also, so many people are saying so many things. And people will hear in different ways, different things, and understand in different ways also. And it can easily develop into arguments. And some kind of fight it can develop into. Narada Maharshi is saying to us, Vadam na avalambya. Don't get into arguments, he says. Because that will not, in the early stages, in the sadhana state, it will not help you. It will only cause problems. Because nothing will come out of arguments, isn't it? What you have accepted inside, that's more important than all the arguments in this world. If you are convinced about Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, if you are convinced about Krishna's words in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't need conviction from somebody else. It's just a question of acceptance of Krishna and that firm faith and surrender to Krishna. That's more important than all the arguments and convincing others. In the realized, after you have realized everything, you have seen what the truth is, then there is no argument anymore afterwards. But in between is all these arguments happens. All the arguments happen. So that's what it is. So, particularly, those who are not following the same process, religious process, what you are following, or those who have no faith in the Shastram, those who have faith in the, no faith in the Shastram, with none of them, you should get into argument. So, Srinarada Maharshi is doing all these things to us. And we go and start call all these kind of things falling into faith. Now, what can you do? What can you do with this? What they don't understand that if you are engaged in Krishna consciousness, you don't need to discuss this with all kinds of people in this world and convince everyone and develop a rapport with them in any way. It's not necessary. You avoid them if you don't find that their way may be different, ways may be different. But to convince that the world that this interfaith and all these kinds of things is as far as Narada Maharshi is telling us, don't do it. That's what he's saying. Sometimes very heated arguments happen. Very heated arguments happen. Sometimes you invite from people from different backgrounds, they come for meetings, and one will say, Bhagavad Gita is saying the right thing. And in your scripture, it's wrong thing. Now somebody will say, Quran is right, they will say. And somebody else says, the Bible is saying something different. So who is right? Who is make the decision? So it will lead into all kinds of unnecessary waste of time. That's what Narada Maharshi is saying. It's just a waste of time. But in the modern world, all this is acceptable. It's necessary to have all these things. So what can you say? Anyway, if you are following Narada Bhakti Sutra, if you have faith in Narada Maharshi's words, Narada Maharshi is telling us, Vadam na avalambya. Don't get into Vadam. Don't get into arguments. So, you may ask the question, this is the age of logic, isn't it? In the scientific world now we are living in. Everything is based on science and logic. In the world of science and logic, can anyone accept this principle? But quite often you will notice, all these arguments is only with one intention. None of them have realized the truth, those who are arguing each other. They have not realized the truth. The only intention behind that is to put the other side down and to establish his authority over the other. That's the only motive behind it. Or to show their knowledge or understanding. There are so many meetings happen like this. In India particularly, you see all the time it's happening between different groups. Together they come together. There's always discussions. It all ends up in serious problems sometimes. So the question will come, what process should I follow? Whether Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Karma Margam. A lot of these things are dictated from inside. Krishna knows what is good for you. In spiritual life also, in this world, there is certain energies working in this war to complete your spiritual life. And once we become surrendered to Krishna, you will see that proper instructions also coming from inside. Sometimes people who have taken the spiritual life through their mind and intelligence, people do that. Using their mind and intelligence, what they'll do is, they will try one process for some time. And then after some time, they'll say, ah, this is not working. Let me try something else. And they'll try something else. And then another 6 months, they'll continue with that. And then they'll give that up and they'll take something else. And by chance, if you get to meet one of them like that, and you tell them about such and such a process. Oh, I have tried that 6 months. They'll say it didn't work. And they'll move on to the next one. This is all happening in the religious field. All these kinds of. So there, it is like this. That somebody, for example, they followed, within the Vedic system, I'm saying, someone followed a yoga margam, for example, Ashtanga yogam. He practiced for a year or so. Then he felt that, oh, it's not working. This is not what I want. Then he goes and tries Jnanamargam for another year or two. Then he finds that after that it's boring. Nothing is, not getting anywhere with that. Then he says, let me try Bhakti now for a few months. See how that goes. So he comes to Bhakti Margam and he tries that. So if you go on doing like this, what will happen is, it is just like you plant one tree and after a while you see the plant is not growing well. You pull the plant out from there and plant somewhere else. It will happen like this in this way. The plant will never get strength anywhere. So any process, whether it is Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Bhakti Margam, irrespective of what process it is, what's important is how committed we are to the process, number one. Number two, what is the goal? The goal is more important than the process. Process is not important. The goal is more important. That is why Krishna says here that, that even in the Jnana Margam, which is based on logic and based on reasoning. Jnanamargam has a lot to do that. Even there, only that is in compliance with the Shastram is acceptable. For example, let me tell you. Sometimes devotees, when they get a little taste of Jnanamargam, they find it very interesting. Jnanamargam, very interesting. Because it gives you, opens up a completely new, different world. It's not like Bhakti Margam, isn't it? Jnanamargam is a very interesting process. So naturally, you become more inquisitive to understand better this Jnanamargam. But Jnanamargam does require certain discipline in life. Shamam, Damam, Tidiksha, Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhanam, many things spoken. Without that, if you start this Jnanamargam process, you won't capture many things, what is spoken in the Shastram. So generally how it is done is, say for example, a group of 5 or 6 brahmacharis who are in the process of Jnanamargam, they will keep on studying and they will meet often together. And they will discuss important literature related to Jnanamargam. In their level they can discuss that. Because they have all studied and have a background behind it. So it becomes a lot easier for them to share their understanding mutually in the Jnanamargam process. There also, you can't argue anything and everything whichever way you like it. That is not allowed. Anything what you say, you have to show the authentic support for that from the Vedic literature. That is important. That if you have doubts about self-realization at any stage, you know, it is discussed in the books like Panchadashi and many other literature. It talks about at different levels how Jnanamargam takes a person in a higher level. So those who have studied all that books, there will be still questions and they will discuss about that. But even while discussing, you can't ask anything and everything what comes to your head. No, it has to be based on the what is spoken and also with the support of the Shastram. So that's why it mentions here that even, because Jnanamargam is based on thought power, intelligence, isn't it? Vicharamargam it is called, Vicharamargam. Bhakti Margam is the heart. Bhakti is here, Jnanam is here. Karmam is action, body is for karma. Karma Yogam with the body, Jnanamargam with the brain, Bhakti Margam with the heart, emotions, love. That is Bhakti's key to Bhakti. So in Jnanamargam, Vicharam, able to think very clear. And that clarity inside is important in Jnanamargam. Like many chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, Ekadashaskandam is all Jnanamargam, what Krishna has spoken. Brahma Sutram is Jnanamargam. Upanishads are all Jnanamargam. It's all Jnanamargam. So, and when one studies all these things and develops that way of thinking, the way Upanishads will guide you through, you come to that understanding, and then you develop more and more taste for it, then you want to talk to people who are in the similar path and who are in the similar state of consciousness. And they have meetings and discussions together about their realizations. So while discussing, it is important that they will be always very authoritative what they speak. They won't speak in a very casual way. With full of authority they will speak. So that's why Krishna says here, even there arguments are not allowed. Unnecessary arguments are forbidden. Even in the Jnana Margam. In Bhakti Margam, absolutely no. No arguments in Bhakti process. No arguments can help in the process of Bhakti. Because it is a process of the heart. And here, only the Shastram, Bhakti Shastram, is our authority and the spiritual master. Once you have accepted them, then to go against them, thinking against them is dangerous, is harmful. And if you keep on accepting them and taking their shelter, you keep on practicing it, you will start experiencing it, that what you have accepted is true. This is how Bhakti process works. In other words, what Krishna, Narada Maharshi says here, that if you accept the shelter of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Narada Bhakti Sutram, and literature which is about Bhakti, if you have accepted that, and if you keep progressing in your spiritual life with that, the satyata, the truthfulness of that literature, you will experience in your own spiritual life. That is how it is proven. Whereas in Jnana Margam, it is not like that. Jnana Margam, there it is, because it is based on knowledge. Before, you have to accept it through your intelligence to a large degree. And if you have the right background inside, Shama Dhamma Tridiksha Ubaradi Shraddha Samadhanam, Sadhana Chadushpati, they call it. Four things. Nitya, I mean, Anitya Vastu Vivekam, able to discriminate between temporary and permanent. That means intense Vairagyam inside. Then Ihamutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam, Vairagyam from everything in this world. Shamam Dhamam Tidiksha Ubaradi Shraddha Samadhanam, the six stages of yoga processes. And eventually higher than everything else is mumukshatvam, intense desire for liberation. If all these things are there in a person, he will have the right frame of brain to accept and understand what Shastram is saying as far as very subtle matters of spiritual life is concerned. He will understand, once it's spoken, he will understand that. Okay. So that is the process in Jnana Margam where brain has a big influence on the your ability to see through things and accept the subtle things. There even arguments are not allowed. And in bhakti process, because it is centered around the heart, no vadam, vado na avalambya. It says like that here, vadam na avalambya. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Veda vadarado nasyal na phagandi na heituga shushka vada vivadena kanjil paksham samashrayed. Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Veda vadarado nasyal na pakhandi na heitugam, that shushka vada vivadena kanjil paksham samashrayen. Krishna says, one who is fixed in self-realization, wants to understand the truth, he, under any circumstances, should not get into argument with someone who is questioning the authority of the Vedas. He's questioning the authority of the Vedas. Or one who argues and wants logic and dry arguments and constantly arguments, you should not take the side of anyone when that is happening. Because as far as Shastram is concerned, argument cannot bring you to the truth, bring you closer to the truth. Argument cannot get you closer to the truth. Therefore, devotee should not engage in any kinds of arguments at any time. That is dangerous. Bahulyam avagashatvad aniyadatvacha. Bahulya avagashatvad aniyadatvacha. Bahulya avagashatvad means that on a same issue there can be many opinions. Many opinion will be there. And also the conclusions are not very firm. Often we make some comment about something. We ourselves are not sure whether it's the right thing or not. Still we may say about it, isn't it? It is like that. Therefore, Srinarada Maharshi says here, Bahulya avagashatval aniyadatvacha. that Bahulya means variety of options are there and you are not confirmed, clear about the conclusions very well. So why argue? What's the benefit from that? That is the, because according to one's taste, according to one's vasanas and qualifications, everyone will have a different opinions at different ways. So that has to be taken into account while arguing, particularly in bhakti process. Let me say this again. Sometimes we have studied, heard something from someplace about Krishna consciousness in one particular way. And then we have understood something about that. And a lot of people will make a lot of statements in this world about their realizations. In bhakti, it is always a problem. Particularly in bhakti, I will tell you why it's a problem. You look around yourself and see that even in Krishna consciousness movement, how different devotees have understood Krishna consciousness in different levels. In different levels, somebody is writing that he is, I won't say who, but you can also imagine, somebody is writing all the time that in everything what he does in this world, he finds some unknown hand working behind, and he sees Krishna has done this for me, Krishna has helped me in this way, helped me in that way. When I went to the airport, I saw this happening, Krishna was there and Krishna has done this for me, or so many things like that. You will notice that, like that, yeah. So like that you will see. And somewhere else you will notice some people saying that, oh, I had this project in my mind and I was looking for finances. Krishna has arranged everything, from somewhere the money has come, and I can see that how Krishna has helped me in this. Little things like that. Sometimes we get sick and somehow we got cured. We thought that we were going to get into serious problems, but somehow we came out of it, and we think that Krishna had a role to play in that. And like this, at different levels, if you look into the society, you will see different people come with different conclusions about Krishna in different levels. And sometimes people will ask you questions also and ask you for your opinion about that. Like the other day, there was this statement that you will probably have read or may not read, I don't know, that Prabhupada was in Mumbai temple. And there is an old devotee who is living there, Haridas. He went to Prabhupada and saw Prabhupada was smiling, sitting alone and was smiling about something. So Haridas asked Prabhupada, why you are smiling? Prabhupada said to Haridas that, I was just thinking about my previous life. Prabhupada said this to Haridas. Did you read that in the net? It was there, yeah, the story. And somebody asked me about it, so that's what I'm saying this. So Haridas asked Prabhupada, what were you in your previous life? He says, I was a medical representative or something, and I killed a snake, therefore I had to get this another birth again. Some answer Prabhupada is given like that to Haridas then. So the question was that, is this true? Question was, is this true or not? That's the question. Now, we have to look at it this way. How does it matter whether it's true or not? How does it change your life in this world? Then he says, I said that to him. He said that, well, the question is this. Because he's a pure devotee, whatever he's saying must be absolute. Isn't it? This was the answer I get from them. Now, some conversation happened between Prabhupada and one devotee. And what he has reported back, whether it is exactly that what happened, we don't know. Because in this world, everything can twist and turn, everything will change, number one. Number two, in bhakti, there are so many things going on like this. And people take all this as very serious. All these things as very serious. They'll say that I saw that particular sannyasi, there was a whole effulgence around his head. And I could see that, they will say. There was something very special about him. There was a kind of a lamp shining all around his head or something like that. Or he performed that sacrifice, Krishna has appeared there in that sacrifice, in the fire sacrifice. There was somebody present there. Now, this is exactly the one thing Vedas are telling us not to go in that route. Why? I'll tell you why. These things, it may be fact, it may not be a fact. We don't know. And it is not important whether they are a fact or not. Upanishads are telling us one thing. You may be anybody in this world. Doesn't matter who you are. And you may have your own realizations. Any kind of realization. These are all different kinds of realizations, in other words. And if you bring that as an authority, it's not acceptable. Only if your realization is in line with what Upanishads have spoken. No other scripture will say like this so bluntly to us. Alone, Upanishads alone will say this. Only if your realization, self-realization is complete, and if you have developed this vision and realization, what Upanishads are talking about, only then we will accept your authority, otherwise not. This is very simple. And how does it put it? How do they put it? They say, even Kapila Maharshi, Kapila, sage Kapila, who spoke Kapilam in the Bhagavatam, even if he comes and says something, if it is not in line with the Upanishads, we will listen to you, we will give you all respect, but we won't accept your conclusions. Similarly, these kind of things, like people saying that Krishna had a hand in this, Krishna had a hand in that, like they are talking that it's not, we are not trying to criticize them. What I'm saying is, Upanishad's position is like this. Upanishads are saying to us, whatever you may achieve in spiritual life, you may have different experiences in spiritual life. You all have. We all have some kind of, somewhere we felt Krishna has helped us in some way. Or sometimes we felt Krishna has left us sometime. All these feelings are there in life. Every devotee goes through little realizations. Everybody gets like this in life. But they are not acceptable from the point of view of Upanishads. Upanishads won't accept that. What they are saying to us is that if you have realized the truth and if your realization is in line with what Upanishads are saying, then we will accept your authority, otherwise not. This is like that. So in bhakti, this process is very complex sometimes. Every devotee will tell you, oh, in the dream I saw Krishna. Prabhupada instructed me directly to do this. You can say anything, isn't it? Who knows? How do I know whether Prabhupada has come and instructed or not? Somebody else, based on that, they can start one thing. And somebody else will repeat that same thing. And 10 people talk about it, it becomes the whole net, it spreads, and everybody knows about, the whole world knows about your realization. And then what happens? Another devotee is thinking, why Krishna is not talking to me? He's only talking to him. Or why Prabhupada is not talking to me? He always is talking to him. So all these kind of things is not acceptable. Is not acceptable. If anybody gets that realization, keep to himself. You can. There's nobody saying that you have to throw it away. You cannot. You can accept that, but you can't accept it as an authority. That's the main thing. Vedas are very strong on this point, very very strong on that. Because otherwise, they will make a complete mess of the whole thing. If millions of people comes with millions of realizations, what will happen? Imagine that situation. Everybody will become a godman then, isn't it? So that'll be the result. It is not like that. Upanishad says to us, even if it is Kapila Maharshi says. Even Kapila is considered to be one of the topmost philosophers. And even if he comes and says something, if it is not in agreement with the Upanishads, we pay our obeisances to Kapila and says to him, please stay away, we cannot accept you. This is how it is. And it should be like that, because otherwise all sorts of misconceptions and misunderstanding will come and we will get confused about it and we don't know what is happening in spiritual life then. That's the problem. So we'll discuss Bhagavad Gita after about 10 minutes or so.